Or with me, Nick Abbott, after the new news at 10 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. More than 100 protesters have been arrested for showing support for Palestine action outside a court case where four activists were sent to prison. They've been jailed for a combined total of 19 years after a break-in at a defence firm in Bristol with links to Israel. The judge at Woolwich Crown Court described their actions as terrorist activity. Kerry Muscadury is from Amnesty International in the UK. She's been telling LBC the terrorist label troubles her.
This is the first time that the UK criminal justice system has ever produced a sentence connected to terrorism for a crime which is criminal damage. So the escalation of this sentencing to associate terrorism with criminal damage is a new thing for the UK and a deeply worrying thing in terms of our right to protest.
Louise Sander-Jones has been named as the new Armed Forces Minister following the resignation of Al Khans. Her previous role as Veterans Minister will now be taken on by Calvin Bailey. Elsewhere, Angela Eagle's been appointed as a Security Minister after Dan Jarvis became the new Defence Secretary. Both the US and Iran are indicating an agreement to end the war between the two is now close. One senior official at the Trump administration has claimed both sides have agreed on a text and Washington expects to sign the initial deal in the coming days. On Thursday night, President Trump was claiming the agreement would prevent Tehran from developing a nuclear weapon.
They've agreed to that. There will be no, which is the whole reason, which is a big part of the reason.
Is that going to be in your agreement, sir?
They will not only not have, they will not purchase, develop in any way, any shape, in any way, shape, or form, a nuclear weapon. They will not have a nuclear weapon.
Elon Musk has become wealthier than the Irish Republic after his company SpaceX was floated on the New York Stock Exchange. He's also now the world's first trillionaire. And David Hockney's been remembered as one of the most successful and recognisable artists of our time following his death at the age of 88. Downing Street says the Prime Minister was saddened by the news. The King says he will be sorely missed. In the city, the FTSE 100 closed up 156 points at 10,459. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.16. LBC weather, dry for much of the UK overnight, mostly clear for central and eastern England, showers for northern and central Scotland, and also parts of Northern Ireland. There'll be a low of around 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Nobody knows who the hell he is.
Well, let's get back to it.
This World Cup is going to be hot and at times stormy, with a lot of the 104 games set to be played above 90 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 32 degrees in European surrender centigrade. But it's worse than trying to play a game of football in what must seem like a steam room. There's storms as well. Thunder, lightning, very, very frightening. In the United States, a match must be suspended if lightning or electrical discharge is detected within an 8-mile radius of the stadium. That is a true fact. Once that happens, a 30-minute countdown begins and the game is stopped. And if there's another lightning or electrical discharge within an 8-mile radius of the stadium, then the countdown begins again. The 30-minute countdown is reset if another strike is detected before the 30 minutes ends. And last summer, at Chelsea's World Cup game against Benfica in Charlotte, North Carolina, it took 4 hours and 38 minutes to complete the match after repeated lightning delays, which is about as long as it takes to play a game of what they call football, but we call American football.
Boring!
Just goes on and on and on. How can anybody watch that? Meanwhile, the thing that could make it all worse has arrived. A Godzilla El Nino, which sounds like something that you get a really big tube of ointment for. El Nino, the climate phenomenon that supercharges weather around the world, has officially arrived. Scientists say that this year's El Nino could be the strongest of the century because climate change will magnify its effects. But as these scientists are experts in possession of facts, no one was remotely interested in anything they had to say. Everyone was too busy listening to some perma-grin in a bright blue suit and pale blue tie tell us that climate change is a scam and what the world needs now is oil, sweet oil. It's the only thing that there's just too little of.
Rock and roll!
Meanwhile, over here, the Met Office said that in the UK, it could increase the likelihood of more unsettled conditions later in the year. El Niño. Including a higher chance of milder, wetter and windier weather during autumn and early winter. Windier than now. We'll have to be tethered to the ground like tents. The weather tonight, windy in the north with heavy showers, dry and clear in the south. Saturday, drier, sunnier, warmer in the south, wetter, cloudier, cooler in the north. Well, wetter, clouder, cooler. I mean, I could check on that while you wait. Because a certain place always gets the same temperature and conditions, regardless of what time of the year it is. But checking for you right now while you wait. Aha! It's raining at the moment in Glasgow. Don't tell me it isn't, because my app says that it is. It will further be raining tomorrow, and then... Oh, what? Not raining on Sunday. Pfft, rubbish. Raining on Monday, and raining on Tuesday, and raining on Wednesday, and raining on Thursday, and raining on Friday, and raining on Saturday, and raining next Sunday, the 21st, and Monday after that, and the Tuesday after that, and Wednesday and Thursday. I ain't making it up. That's every day for the rest of your lives.
Damn it!
Oh, well, never mind. Saturday, drier, sunnier, warmer in the south, wetter, cloudier, cooler in the north. And, for the rest of us, would you like to hear the long-range forecast for the next 4 weeks?
No!
At first, warm and dry, or warm and wet, depending on where you are. And then, toward the middle of the month, changeable. Rain in the northwest, strong winds, then drier, warmer, and more settled. And then, end of June and beginning of July. Blimey. It's July already. The nights are drawing in, and Jesus' birthday's just around the corner. End of this month, first week of July, settled, then mainly dry, with temperatures likely to be above normal, with potential for hot conditions to develop. Settled and mainly dry, with temperatures likely to be above normal, with potential for hot conditions to develop. We'll take it. Ricky said, hey, Ricky, you're so fine, you blow my mind, hey, Ricky. He says, 39 times Donald has told me Iran are ready to make a deal. My wife always tells me that she'll be ready in a minute too, Donald. It's normal. All right, is that where you want to start? Oh, okay, then. Donald Trump. You know Donald Trump. Donald Trump has cancelled strikes against Iran and claimed that a peace deal is closer than ever, as Tehran's most senior leaders have approved his deal.
They want to make a deal very badly.
They want to make a deal so badly. You have no idea how badly they want to make a deal.
They want to make a deal so badly, but they're afraid to say it.
They are begging to make a deal, not me. They're begging to make a deal.
They want to make a deal.
They're begging to make a deal. They're begging to make a deal.
They want to make a deal. They want to make a deal more than I want to make a deal.
So, no, said the President of the United States of America. He said that the final points have been approved by all parties involved, including, but not limited to, Israel and America's Arab allies, and claimed that the accord simply needed to be signed with his big boy squiggle. And then he can take a victory lap of what used to be the White House before he pulled half of it down and turned the rest into a redneck trailer park.
Oh, shut up!
One small problem. As with all the times that Trump has said that Iran was desperate to make a deal, how much they wanted to make a deal, and how they had called him pleading to make a deal, Iran have said no deal. And the Israelis said that they haven't made a deal either. So Iran haven't agreed and Israel haven't agreed, but Trump said that they had agreed, presumably expecting that everyone will agree if he says they have, for fear of upsetting the him. Thing is, Iran seems to actually quite like upsetting him. Trump's latest claim comes just hours after he said that the US was planning to seize Iran's Karg Island oil depot and strike the country very hard.
We're going to be doing very strong things, very strongly and with great strength.
He wrote on Truth Social, based on the fact that discussions with the Islamic Republic of Iran have been brought to the highest level of Iranian leadership and approved, I have, as President of the United States of America, cancelled the scheduled strikes and bombings against Iran this evening. He said, discussions and final points have been, in both concept and great detail, approved by all parties involved, including the United States, Israel, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, Turkey, Pakistan, Bahrain, Kuwait, Jordan, Egypt, and others. Doesn't Iran even get a mention?
it gets credited as others. That's like getting a credit at the end of the film as man in shop. He didn't get a line of dialogue or even a name. Iran is an extra in its own movie. Trump wrote, the naval blockade will remain in full force and effect until this transaction is finalized. Time and place of the signing to be announced shortly. Does that make any sense? Iran blockaded the Bend of Hormuz, and Trump's response was to re-blockade it. He blockaded the thing that Iran had already blockaded. You know, like he totally obliterated their weapons, and then he totally re-obliterated them about 10 times so far, I think. So now he's threatening to take over Karg Island, which is a big oil processing facility, which is a great idea if you don't have to personally go and do any of the fighting. Which he doesn't, because he has a doctor's note that excuses him from everything all of the time. Karg Island is known as Forbidden Island. It's the kind of island that James Bond would have to pay some local fisherman a huge amount of His Majesty's money to get him to sail to, so he could destroy the villain's lair. It's heavily fortified by missile batteries, naval mines and Revolutionary Guard units, and taking it would require thousands of American boots on the ground, some of whom could die and be classed as losers by Emperor Squeaky Tanks. He said the United States will be hitting Iran, whose Navy, Air Force, radar, anti-aircraft and other forms of defense, together with most of its offensive capability, are gone. Very hard tonight, Trump wrote on Truth Social on Thursday. I know that was a very, very long sentence, but that's I can't take any responsibility for that. That's what he wrote. He says the United States will be hitting Iran, brackets, whose Navy, Air Force, radar, anti-aircraft and all other forms of defense, together with most of its offensive capability, are gone, exclamation mark, close brackets, comma, capital letters, very hard tonight, Trump wrote on Truth Social on Thursday. Now, see, I would believe that he had written that. But would he have written the naval blockade will remain in full force and effect until this transaction is finalized? That doesn't really sound like him. Too many syllables. And you might wonder why a country whose Navy, Air Force, radar, anti-aircraft and all other forms of defense, together with most of its offensive capability, are gone, is worth using vastly expensive American missiles on. And if you do wonder that, then you are probably a communist, fascist, radical left lunatic. The US launched a fresh bombing raid overnight, the second round after Trump's retaliatory strikes on Tuesday following the shooting down of an Apache helicopter, which Iran managed to do without a Navy, Air Force, radar, anti-aircraft and all other forms of defense, together with most of its offensive capability, which had been gone. Amazing that they still are able to do that. With what? A pea shooter? Trump is seeking to push Iran into making a deal, after months of stalemate since a ceasefire was declared in April. How's that push going, by the way?
Oh, fabulous.
The president has lost patience with Iran, apparently, telling reporters yesterday that they keep playing us for suckers. Yeah, as in,
people are laughing at us all over the world. They think we're stupid, and we are. I mean, we're being led by stupid people. We're being led by people that don't have a clue they're incompetent.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I agree with Donald Trump. He keeps saying that Iran can never get its hands on a nuclear bomb because we wouldn't want a nuclear bomb in the hands of someone unstable and stupid.
Don't be rude.
That would be a very dangerous state of affairs, wouldn't it? Imagine having nuclear weapons in the hand of somebody who was stable and not a very nice person.
Donald Trump is not a nice person.
Or a smart person.
Trust me, I'm like a smart person.
A person who wasn't stable, for instance, or had no strategy.
There's no strategy. I have no strategy. There's zero strategy.
0345-6060-973. You can text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone, 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
LBC.
With over 50 years' experience at Fidelity, we know the difference between investing and being invested. Investing is a transaction. Being invested is about the future you want to build. With our guidance, expert insights, and wealth of investment options, you can feel confident about your long-term goals. for ISA's pensions or advice. Be invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
At Lidl, say yes to a summer of indulgence and pick up juicy deluxe Aberdeen Angus beef burgers and save 60p with Lidl Plus. Now only £3.99 for a pack of four. Make your summer even more delectable. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only while stocks last. T's and C's apply. See lidl.co.uk/LPTV. Offer ends 17th of June.
Get iPhone 17 in the Vodafone Business Summer Sale. iPhone 17 is built for business with all-day battery life and the powerful A19 chip. For fast, efficient performance. Experience it all on the best network for business and save £300. Hurry, offer ends the 22nd of July. Vodafone Business.
Businesses with up to 9 employees only. Based on iPhone 17 and 24-month unlimited airtime plan. Best network is awarded at the Mobile Industry Awards. Saving calculated over 36 months.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Everything is going extremely well.
Everything is going extremely badly. This is something of an inconvenience for a talk show. Unfortunately, we can't take calls.
What?
No. Can't actually take any calls for some reason. It's a technical problem. We should get a woman in. And if a woman isn't available, then I suppose we'll have to put up with a man then. But I can take your messages, but I just can't hear you speak them. You can contact me with your thumb, but not with your mouth. Matthew says, good evening, Nick. Which is very polite. A polite way to start.
Be polite!
Good evening, Nick. Great man theory is a much discredited academic framework proposing that history is primarily shaped by extraordinary, charismatic and naturally gifted individuals. I would argue that the final nail in his coffin takes the form of history's first trillionaire, also happening to be his biggest loser. Yeah, he's got a trillion, on paper, of course, but never mind whether it's on paper or not. He can still borrow against that $1 trillion at a fantastic interest rate and spend anything he likes on anything he likes. That's how the rich spend their money. They don't spend the principal. They borrow at a rate that is less than their wealth is accumulating, which makes it essentially free money. You get to a certain amount of wealth and you just get essentially given free money to spend. What a way to run a planet, eh?
Dreadful.
It's shocking. But yeah, he's a trillionaire. But, you know, what difference does that make? What's he going to do with $1 trillion that he couldn't do with $650 billion? Nothing. And is it making him happy?
No.
It doesn't seem to really be making him happy, does it? I mean, every now and again he's got that grin plastered on his face, but that might be another chemical reason.
Want to score some pot?
Yeah, or whatever. I have no idea. Just read a lot about it, that's all. But he seems to be, let's dial in and see if we can hear directly from the source of his brain. Exactly as I thought. But that's a bunch of syllables there that you used, Matthew. Good evening, Nick. Great man theory is a much discredited academic framework proposing that history is primarily shaped by extraordinary, charismatic and naturally gifted individuals. I think it's about 50% too many syllables in that sentence. If you could just cut it down for me, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Dan in Warsaw. Warsaw. Says, hey, Nick, just wondering if you can pronounce Warsaw. No, apparently not. He says, hey, Nick, just wondering if you're going to need a hydration break during the weather. Yeah, that's a good point. I have a cup of breakfast tea. Which is, doing the usual effect. I'm flying. Oh. I have no idea what they put in this tea. I've never come across a cup of tea that's quite as laden with Class A drugs as that is available in this building. Well, there's nothing like it I've ever tried in my life. I mean, a double shot of espresso doesn't make me, flip out like that stuff does. And it's legally available where children can see it. Can you believe that? Engineering called. Did we get any result? You can thumbs up or down me. She's waving her arms in the air like she just don't care. I think it's like, meh, we don't know. So this might be just me talking for the next 3 hours. But you know me, I never complain.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
Peter says, when I asked the waiter at the bistro if fish was any one of the specials, he replied that he wasn't. He was the lead singer of Marillion. Well, that is just a statement of fact. Stupid question to ask, Peter. Don't you know nothing? Fish was the lead singer of Marillion. Yeah. I interviewed him a couple of times. He's a nice guy. Well, what do I know? He was nice when he was speaking to me. He left me an odd-shaped cigarette once. I just said, no, thank you, because good manners don't cost nothing, do they?
Be polite!
Matt says, I don't think people are giving reform enough credit. Apparently they've ended homophobia. Have they? Uncle Nigel said this week the reform councils will scrap pride events because they've got everything they want. They've got everything they want. He surely didn't put it like that, did he? Nigel hasn't got everything he wants, though. More £5 million donations required. What a world we love in, says Matt. Now, I don't know whether that's a typo or not. No idea. And in answer to my question, are we actually going to get a phone line that operates during the course of this show? The answer from next door in all capital letters with approximately 30 exclamation marks after it is, who knows? Well, not me, that's for sure. But it weren't me, mister. I ain't done nothing. This show was like this when I got here. Matt said, you see, this sort of thing would never happen during James O'Brien's show. The equipment wouldn't dare to break down during James O'Brien's show. Not that I'm complaining or anything.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
So they've, the gays have got everything they want. I didn't know that. What do they want? Lots of colours on their flags. Kylie Minogue's greatest hits. Stuff like that. No idea. Ian in Birmingham says, good evening, Nick. It's the CIA. They're blocking your phone lines to stop you playing Trump quotes. As for his announcement of a peace deal, it's announced on a Friday and dead by Monday. Not sure why the markets are taking any notice anymore. No, exactly. I mean, how many times has he said that he's solved this problem? He solved the problem that he started. Whether he started it in order to tack on another number to the amount of wars that he stopped, I've got absolutely no idea, and neither does he. But he did have something to say about presidents who go to war with Iran.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. So the only way he figures that he's going to get reelected, and as sure as you're sitting there, is to start a war with Iran.
And to think that I say that with him, every accusation is a confession. I mean, what more evidence do you need? I mean, of course, he wasn't talking about himself when he made that clip, but he could have been. Because it seems that that's exactly what he did. And if we get back to the deal that he tore up, that unfortunately had Obak Arama's signature on it, then it'll be amazing. If they get back to anything like that deal that they had before Trump barged into the room and tore everything up with Obak Arama's signature on it, then I'd be stunned. And all it would have taken is a lot of dead people, including most of girls' school. Oh, my God, are you kidding me? Connection. Now the screen on my right with all my sound effects, now that's just gone black. Oh, now it's come back again. Is there something going on? Is there something going on? I think somebody should look into it very strongly. And with great strength. Because that's bizarre. Oh, now other screens in this studio have gone black as well. Maybe it's engineering. Is engineering fiddling about already? Remotely? Are they doing it remotely? Wow, I'd be stunned if they were able to fix it without actually coming into the building. Shocked and stunned. Alex in Witham says, I don't understand how Starmer could not have foreseen this fiasco with defence spending. Now my mouse is all over the screen. It's jumped from one screen to another. How did it do that? Are you kidding me? Duty Ed says stop narrating. Yeah, okay, I'll just ignore everything that's going on around me and present this show as normal. Has the Duty Ed ever heard this show? No, I'm with Ian. I think it's the CIA that are blocking our phone lines to stop me playing Trump quotes. I mean, if there was a Trump quote that actually set him in a bad light, I would understand why he wouldn't want me to be stopped from playing it.
The American dream is dead.
Yeah, for that one, for instance. Stop narrating. Yeah, okay, sure, why not? It's not a request show. If you want a request played, then Anne-Marie Minhall is the person for you. I love that show. George in Bath says, hi, Nick. Now that the World Cup has started, will it be all we this and we that on leading Britain's conversation? Now that the World Cup has started, will it be all we this and we that? I don't understand what that means. We this and we that. What are you talking about? Oh, you mean the England team. People in England talking about we, as in sort of ignoring the fact that Scotland are actually in the competition too, and ignoring the fact that even if they weren't, that they would suddenly all be supporting England, like in Wales as well. Is that what you mean, George? I mean, I'm just filling in the gaps. Because, I wouldn't want to narrate what's happening in the show. Just pretend it's not happening. Be professional. Oh, the calls are working now. Can you believe that?
No.
Really? No, she's got a puzzled look on her face. I think she started to celebrate too early. So I'll just carry on. Oh, I'm going to have to cough. One moment. That's better. Alex in Witham says, I don't understand how Starmer could not have foreseen this fiasco with defence spending. After all, ministers were never going to take no for an answer due to how the Tories neglected defence. So would it not have been better to increase spending at the cost of the triple lock? It's already unaffordable and most pensioners are most pensioners are voting reform anyway. Well, there's some truth in that. I mean, the older you get, the more likely you are to vote for a right-wing party. And the older you get, the more likely you are to vote for reform, yeah, or the other one, restore. And then the slightly younger on the right would vote for the Tories if the Conservatives were a thing anymore, which they aren't after...
This government.
That government. After that government, and you know who.
Absolutely.
And the other one as well.
Yeah. Where do
I think they destroyed all confidence in the Conservative Party, which used to be a thing. Kids will have to ask their dads what the Conservative Party is. Used to be a thing, pretty sure. I have a dim, distant memory of it being something. the rot actually started well before that, didn't it? It started with a certain person who we're not missing, but if we do, we will know where to find him. He'll be in the shed where they keep the tools.
I think this is nonsense.
Yeah, well, you would. You would. Any thoughts, Smug?
I don't know anything.
Simon in Bray says, I've been away, so I haven't listened recently, so you may have talked about it, but have you been or are you going to see the Henry Moore exhibition at Kew Gardens? I have been, and I am going to see, yes, because I didn't do it all in one go. It's a very, very big gardens. It's huge. So, yeah, I've seen much of it. The first thing that you see when you go in is absolutely just stunning. It's massive, the thing that they put by the lake just in front of the Palm House. Absolutely huge. And the thing with those Henry Moore statues is they look way better outside in the landscape than they do inside a museum. But there's a lot of his smaller work inside the, they call it the Shirley Sherwood Gallery. It's a marvellous thing. And on a beautiful day, even if it's raining, I mean, you know, you wouldn't have many places to sit down outside if it was raining. But even on a rainy day, I can't think of anywhere to be better than Kew Gardens. And that Henry Moore exhibition is blooming marvellous. I think you'll love it. 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 10:30, the news headlines, with Tim Daly.
Both the US and Iran are indicating an agreement to end the war between the two is now close. One senior official from the Trump administration has claimed both sides have agreed on a text, and Washington expects to sign the initial deal in the coming days. Four activists from Palestine Action have been sent to prison after raiding the Bristol factory of an Israeli defense company. They used sledgehammers and crowbars to destroy drones and other equipment and left a police officer with a fractured spine. And the actress Helen Mirren, Rugby League's Kevin Sinfield and the members of England's Lionesses have been named in the King's Birthday Honours List. The author of the Gruffalo children's book, Julia Donaldson, has also been named a dame. LBC weather, dry for much of the UK overnight, mostly clear in central and eastern England. There'll be showers in northern and central Scotland and parts of Northern Ireland. We'll see a low of around 9 degrees.
This is LBC.
Get iPhone 17 in the Vodafone Business Summer Sale. iPhone 17 is built for business with all-day battery life and the powerful A19 chip for fast, efficient performance. Experience it all on the best network for business and save £300. Hurry, offer ends the 22nd of July. Vodafone Business.
Businesses with up to 9 employees only. Based on iPhone 17 and 24-month unlimited airtime plan. Best network is awarded at the Mobile Industry Awards. Saving calculated over 36 months.
Get ready for Small Charity Week from the 22nd of June. Helping small charities change lives in our local communities. Find out more at biggive.org.
McDonald's Taste of the Tournament has arrived. Get the sweet Carolina barbecue stack. Two juicy patties and crispy bacon covered in sticky Carolina barbecue sauce. The sweet Carolina barbecue stack. Bring it home with McDelivery.
Until the 13th of July from 11 a.m. Fees apply to delivery orders. Price and participation may vary, subject to availability.
At Waitrose, you know you're a food lover when the standout summer party spread even outshines the unfortunate weather. Make it a summer to remember with our delicious number one summer range, including fresh Italian burrata with a creamy centre on a bed of sweet and tangy aubergine caponata and succulent aromatic coronation spatchcock with crispy Bombay spiced onions. Oh, available now at Waitrose, the home of food lovers. Selected stores and lines subject to availability.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Here are the studio calls flashing up on the indicator.
Yes, believe it or not, the problem has been solved. Or so I am led to believe. So the phones are now functioning as advertised. 0345 6060 973. Bern in Switzerland. Hello, Kate.
Hi.
Kate.
I finally got round to listening to your podcast with Carol.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's so not helpful, and it's so brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, to be honest, we're helpful some of the time. Every now and again, we'll come up with some like really, really helpful advice, but mostly it's just us guffawing.
Yeah. But like you were talking about names and faces, right? I once spent an entire bus ride talking to someone, and they seemed to know everything about me, including my name.
What?
And all, yeah, they knew me, and all I remembered was I'd seen them somewhere, but I had no clue who they were. Anyway, the Chompingo.
Well, hang on a minute. How did they know who you were? I mean, that sounds very suspicious.
I don't know. I must have talked to them. I know that I knew them from somewhere.
Oh, right.
So I had no idea where to place them.
Right, so it wasn't a stalker or something who was unknown to you. You know you'd met them before. It's just they had a better memory. They were more interested in you than you were in them, basically.
Probably. Yeah, I felt horrible, though.
Awful.
Anyway, the Trump bingo, I don't know if you've already got that on your list, but he's going to publish a book he's not going to write it, obviously.
No.
It's someone else is going to write it for him, or Gen AI is going to regurgitate it. But he'll publish a book that he'll probably call something like Mind Deal. And every household in the US will have to...
My Struggle, yeah.
Yes, that one. Will have to purchase a copy, and there'll probably be, like, you know, a luxury version for special events, yeah, like weddings or anniversaries. Or
something that has been auto-pen signed by him. Yeah,
with fake gold and stuff.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he wrote a book and it was required that every school in the country get a copy for each pupil. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at that.
Yeah, me neither. Finally, you might enjoy watching The Fall of the House of Usher, like that newish series. It's brilliant. They do drink a lot, but there's also cake, and I think it's fabulous.
The Fall of the House of Usher?
Yeah, it's like a newish take on all the stories of Edgar Allan Poe, but with a twist.
How do you get it?
Probably on an internet near you.
Oh, an internet near me, right? Okay.
Yeah, you'll probably find it somewhere. But it's really, I thought it's brilliant and really worth watching.
Okay, well, I'll look it up later. Even though that does count as homework, I'll make an exception in this one case. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Kate. I should have asked her about what's life like in Switzerland. Oh, she's still on the line. I'll ask you, what's life like in Switzerland? Because in the Global Peace Index, Switzerland is the third safest city to live in on Earth.
What do you mean? It's a city. It's a whole country.
Oh, no, not a city. A country, yeah. I didn't mean city. Yeah. I meant country.
Yes, it's peaceful and boring and very quiet and currently not unbearably hot, which is great.
Right. You lost me at the boring part, and that's my experience of Switzerland. Switzerland is kind of really, really
very
dull.
And we don't really have pubs, which is horrible, if you ask me.
Yeah. You have bars with men in lederhosen.
Yeah, but not really.
Oompa music.
No, we don't.
Yeah, you do. They're standing in front of the cuckoo clock, eating chocolate. All right, thanks a lot, Kate. Yeah, the world's safest and least safe countries have been named. This is according to the Global Peace Index, the latest index created by the Institute for Economics and Peace. Sounds like a woke organization to me. It's found that the world has continued its long-standing trajectory of deteriorating peacefulness, with armed conflict the dominant driver of decline. Really, I thought that the world was getting better. I mean, we got better in this country, specifically, you know, over the last, let's say, 100 years. Much, much safer and more pleasant. I thought that the world had improved some, you know, apart from the very well-publicised conflicts here and there. I thought, overall, we were, getting better and better. Apparently not. The number of countries involved in external conflict has nearly doubled since 2008, and some of them are ones that have not been attacked by the President of the United States of America.
Don't be rude.
Nations are ranked based on indicators such as deaths from internal conflict, neighbouring country relations, and UN peacekeeping funding. Number one, Iceland, which shouldn't be a surprise because nobody lives there but yaks and polar bears. That was a recording of a polar bear I made yesterday. Number two, New Zealand. See Iceland above, but with probably better weather. No one lives there. There's like about three people live in New Zealand, which is really embarrassing that we could only score one goal against them the other day. There I went with we. Third, Switzerland. I would have guessed that Switzerland would be there or thereabouts. And then, the perfect countries are more or less towards the top, as you would expect. Ireland, number five. Wow. Slovenia is in there at four. I don't know anything about Slovenia. I probably wouldn't be able to pinpoint it on a map. Is it near Estonia? I think I could find that. And then Austria, Portugal, Singapore, Finland, Japan, Denmark, Malaysia, Czechia, Canada, Hungary, Bhutan, wherever that is. The Netherlands, Mauritius, Latvia, Australia, Belgium, Poland, Croatia, And you're wondering, where are we? Well, I've got to number 24, which is Lithuania, and then Estonia, then Bulgaria, Spain, Germany, Slovakia, Montenegro, Qatar, Timor-Leste. Is that even a place? Norway, Mongolia, Italy, Albania, Uzbekistan, Equatorial Guinea, and then us. We're at 39. Which I suppose is not bad out of 163 countries that they surveyed. We are the 39th safest country in the world. Venezuela, which has just been roundly attacked by the United States of America, is 133. And guess which country follows Venezuela? The United States of America. They're 134 out of 163 countries. The 134th safest country in the world. So when the sofa surfer J.D. Vance starts lecturing us about, the safety of your average citizen in this country, then just mentally flick him away. Thank you, J.D. Vance, but you have delighted us enough. Plymouth. Hello, Julie.
Hello, Nick. Have you had some gremlins around?
Apparently so, yeah, but I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Well, no, don't talk about it then. I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad I phoned the emergency hotline.
Yeah, no, I'm working just fine. It's, everything around me that is falling apart.
Well, yes, I feel for you. Yeah. And we're there. We're all there for you.
Well, I appreciate your support, Julie.
Yeah, it's okay. Did you know that you're the fifth most popular podcast on the Global Player?
How do you know that?
Well, I've got the Global Player app, and it says most popular, and it's got four before you, which are quite big names.
Who?
And then it's like, well, the news agents, which I've got to admit, do love.
Uh-huh. They're big. Right.
Well, of course they are.
Yeah.
A football-y one.
Right.
And Formula One one.
Yeah.
And one that isn't actually by Global, it's a, the other lot.
Oh,
and then it's you. You're the first, like, the Nick Abbott whole show. Says here, in the little explanation, funny, witty, Nick is a national treasure.
Oh, well, somebody should...
I'm
a national treasure. Well, somebody should bury me in a field.
Or put you on display in a museum.
Yes. That's right. I'd look great in a vitrine. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was lovely, and I thought, I want to share that with Nick, because, we just heard the King's birthday list, and I thought, I bet he's forgotten you again, but
again.
You're not forgotten.
Can you believe that? Again, I've been left out of the list.
I should be writing a letter of disbelief, to
what
be honest,
with, what with everything that I've done for charity as well?
Well, exactly. We're in need of a bit of charity. I think your audience, you look after us. We're all a bit like, help us, Nick. You're keeping us going. We're all falling apart.
Yeah, just don't say I'm keeping you sane, because people used to say that to me all the time during the invisible menace, the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
But it's too much pressure. Don't rely on your mental stability to me.
No, I'm insane, so you haven't managed to do that for me.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Nick, thank you for telling me about Jill Scott. She's brilliant. I hope you had a listen to Ray.
Ray.
Do you remember? Ray.
Oh, yeah. Was that you who said that?
Mm.
Right, I immediately forgot to write it down, so I didn't do it.
Well, I listened to Jill, and I've been listening to her. I've got her saved, and, yeah, I really like her. Thank you, Nick. That was lovely. But if you get a chance listening to Ray, she does a couple at Abbey Road Studios, and really nice.
Right. Well, I will definitely forget to write that down again and not look it up later.
Well, thank you, Nick, and take care. Speak soon.
Okay, thanks a lot, Julie. Another satisfied customer. Back to this thing with Alex in Witham. I've read this before, but I didn't really take issue with any of it, apart from the bit at the end about pensioners voting reform. Alex in Witham says, I don't understand how Starmer could not have foreseen this fiasco with defence spending. After all, ministers were never going to take no for an answer due to how the Tories neglected defence. Yes, they did. The spending on defence fell off a cliff when the Tories came in, and it didn't recover for about 10 years. At least 10 years. I don't have the chart in front of me. I brought it in last week, and I was, explaining it in great detail.
Boring!
And so, of course, But you take over something that's been smashed to bits for 14 years straight. It's going to take a little while to put it back together again. Much easier to break something than it is to mend it. But I just think it's absolutely obscene. I mean, just take a step back and look at what we're talking about here. Isn't it absolutely obscene that we're spending this much money on devices to kill people? It's just nuts. I mean, the amount of money that we would have for other things if we stopped spending so much money on devices to kill people, and the amount of money that we would be able to spend on normal warfare if we didn't have all of that money pouring into this bottomless pit that is the nuclear weapons that we're so keen to cling on to. I mean, that I just don't understand at all. Why us? Tiny little tax avoidance racket off the coast of Europe. Why do we need nuclear weapons, for crying out loud? It's like putting a submachine gun mounted on the counter of your local bank. It's a bit over the top, don't you think? 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
The country's waiting for you. The country's waiting for this Labour Party paralysis to play out.
I think, to be fair, we
even the Tories didn't us about this much.
I want a contest where the best candidates are on the pitch, and it's a genuine battle of ideas.
Hear every side of the story.
For all of the division of our time, do I think this country is any less respectful, inclusive? No.
A lot of trans people say that as a result of your government, they feel less included.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Here's a tale of two commuters. Steve was in a rush and needed to park near the station. Jane also needed a space and booked in advance with Your Parking Space. Steve had a meeting at 9 and panic at 8. Nowhere to park. Jane, she's already in the office and enjoying that morning latte. With Your Parking Space, you can browse thousands of spaces across London and reserve one instantly. Use the code GET10 for £10 off your first booking. Download the Your Parking Space app today.
Hard to ignore, isn't it? BYDs are everywhere. Join over 4 million drivers who chose BYD last year. At our BYD Summer Sales event, get up to £1,000 deposit contribution plus 0% APR on selected models on orders placed from the 18th to the 21st of June. Book your test drive at byd.com/UK or visit your local BYD retailer. T's and C's apply. Private registrations purchased during event and registered by 30th of September.
My darling, the carriage awaits. The Duchess herself will be there. But what if he's already in the ballroom, waiting?
Sorry, are we getting off here?
Huh? Oh, no. Next stop.
Lose yourself in a thrilling romanticy story. Think again. Take the train with Southeastern. Choose from our range of tickets. Buy direct from us and pay no booking fees.
Southeastern.
People ask me, what's my good place? Down the park, having fun with Toby, my cockapoo. And knowing that my pension with Pensionbee is managed by experienced money managers. So, not chasing the stick then, Toby? No?
At Pensionbee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionbee.com and be pension confident. When investing, your capital is at risk.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
He thinks he looks good in a bathing suit. He doesn't.
Rude. This text says, how long till a trillionaire decides to buy an army so he can get rid of a stubborn government so he can get stuff done? Well, I would not be surprised if that was our future. Yeah, billionaires fighting amongst themselves and using other people to do the fighting. I would not be surprised if countries ceased to exist and they became companies that were owned by these billionaires and trillionaires. This text says, on that subject, Nick, I really don't want to boast, but after carefully investing in fuel, groceries and council tax, I'm now a hundredaire. And Elon Musk, who looks like the world's least happy and well-adjusted person, is now also the richest. I think the human race has taken a wrong turn. He's worth, apparently, $1 trillion. That is one with 12 zeros after it. Well, it sounds exactly like Donald Trump's cabinet, one with 12 zeros after him.
Don't be rude.
Just saying. 1,000,000,000. Think of a million, which I don't know, but I'll make it up. Something that sounds about reasonable. A million is, let's say, a 3-foot cube of £10 notes. Now, imagine a cube that's 3 foot in each direction, and it's all £10 notes. Let's say that's a million. Now, think of 1,000 of those, and now think of 1,000 of the result of that sum. So, let's say 1,000 3-foot cubes would fill a warehouse. Now think of 1,000 warehouses full of 3-foot cubes of money, and that's how much he's worth. What the hell is he going to do with all that money? I mean, it's just absolutely obscene. And the thing is, they just seem to be addicted to getting ever more of it. It seems to be the thing that occupies their thoughts morning, noon and night. How can I get more? And how can I arrange my affairs so that absolutely nothing goes out? Let's plug all those gaps. Don't want any leaks. 0345 6060 973. Aylesford. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Nick.
Tony.
You just mentioned about, before we talk about, and we're 34th, you said.
You're really cracking up. Are you talking to me from a submarine?
No, I'm not. Is that better?
Not really.
Oh, great.
Can you lean out of the, not so far that you'll fall, but can you lean out of a window, perhaps?
Help me, I'm on this Wi-Fi calling. Can you come back to me in a minute? No, don't do that.
Yeah, we'll just pause the show while you get your signal sorted out. Wi-Fi calling is normally quite reliable. I'll come back to him in just a moment. Sort himself out. Merthyr Tydfil, Jeff.
Well, Nick, Saturday night for you.
Is it?
Just to keep you informed from the Welsh perspective, the football seems to be rather boring for us. But
don't be downhearted. You can root for England or Scotland if you like.
Well, you could if you were that way inclined, yeah. I suppose. Anyway, it's been some excitement in the Senate.
I doubt it.
You know that Plaid took about 40 plus seats. Reform took about 30 seats, 30 plus. And the end result was that they formed the main opposition. Well, Plaid had the main thrust of the election was that they were going to increase childcare.
Yeah.
So one of the first things they've introduced is a motion looking to increase childcare in Wales.
Right.
So the reform, this is the first vote, really, the first big vote that took place. Mm. And reform.
Don't tell me. They said, we'll issue every child with their own flag.
they could have done. Anyway, what happened was that I think it was either 9 or 11 of them out of this 30 mob voted the wrong way. They voted with Plaid. And there was a bit of furor.
What, by accident, you mean?
Well, this is what people are saying. But there was an altercation afterwards with the Conservatives. There's about 9 Conservatives in there. And things got a bit heated. And people are now, they are now saying that because they're new to this game and they didn't know which button to press, that it was accidental. But
right.
You see, there could have been, some of them could have been for increasing childcare in Wales. If you follow my drift, and went against the party line.
Right.
It's anything is possible in these circumstances, which has caused much amusement. Well, amusement, just, you know, not amusement, but
consternation. Well, yeah.
As
rolling eyes all round.
Mm. Yeah. Well, of course, the guy who was running the show, a little fella called Dan Thomas, was in charge of the Kent. This is the Reform Party in Wales. He was he ran the council in Kent somewhere.
Right.
And he was conservative at the time. And he gave everything out, apparently, as far as I can tell, to private enterprise, whatever. They bringing consultants in, spending money like...
That's not just Kent Council. That seems to be this country's, ever since Margaret Thatcher... Ever since Margaret Thatcher, we've been flogging off the family silver. I don't think we ain't got nothing left. Not no more.
Well, it doesn't look like it. But the end result of all this is that Reform is now, as far as I can tell in Wales, everybody's confused. Do you know what I mean? There's confusion, right?
Yeah. And they seem to be annoyed that nobody has come and explained the job that they're supposed to be doing to the people that are supposed to be doing it. Isn't it that their responsibility to know what the job is that they were so desperate to do that they went out and campaigned and put leaflets through people's doors? I mean, if that was me, then I would have taken some time out of my busy schedule of not doing anything to actually look up what it was that I was supposed to be doing with the job that I was campaigning to do.
Right. Do you know when you talk to people, you just talk to your average Joe, you know, you say, how are things going? How are you voting these days, then? How are you going to vote on this?
Oh, God, I never, never, ever ask anybody that. Oh, are you joking?
Yeah. Warning!
Ask a stranger how they're going to vote. Well, the danger is they might tell you.
Well, there are no strangers in Merthyr.
There might be no strangers, but I'm pretty sure there's some strange people.
So the end result is that you know immediately if they're going to Reform, because they say all politicians are at it. They're all villains. And they are the ones who vote Reform. They will. You don't have to go any further with the conversation. You know where they're going to vote.
Right. If they're all at it, though, I mean, surely your best policy would be, I don't know, it's not your best policy, but it might be a logical policy not to vote for any of them, rather than vote for the party that says that they're against the elite, but who actually are the elite.
Yeah, and you know the ones... they say, I don't like Starmer. They will vote either Labour or Plaid. Because I have no idea why, but Starmer has reached the bottom pits of popularity for reasons that I don't understand.
No, I don't really get it either, other than it doesn't really matter who was going to be in number 10 sporting a red rosette. They were going to get it in the neck from the mainstream media, the right-wing press, regardless of who they were. I mean, you know, they were going to do the full monstering Jeremy Corbyn on whoever it was. And whoever the next one will be is going to get the exact same thing. In fact, they've already started on the potential next ones.
Yeah. It is literally the press has really instilled in this in the voting population a dislike of Starmer, which is totally illogical and irrational.
Well, it is. I mean, there's no doubt that he isn't particularly well suited to the job, which these days, particularly after you know who.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Which became a sort of a performance. People, it's like the Trump thing in America. People want a performer. They want to be entertained. You know, politics.
Boring.
All that, potholes and what day your bins are collected and all that stuff, that's really, really boring. We wish to be amused, and Keir Starmer is not amusing. No.
Yeah, he's not amusing. That's the problem. And but to so dislike him,
What,
yeah,
what
to actually hate him and yeah, say that he hasn't done anything is factually inaccurate. And I could spend now until the end of the show listing the things, the positive things that they have done in the brief period since they've been in power to actually reverse the decline of this once great nation. But, you know, I've done that before, and it's just like white noise to me. Don't talk to people about facts because it's white noise. We're all about feelings now, baby. All right, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Jeff. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. It's being reported the US and Iran are close to signing a peace deal which involves the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. Pakistan, which has been mediating, claims the final text has been agreed. Benham Ben Tablu is from the Washington think tank, the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. He's been telling LBC comments from the White House should be treated carefully.
The administration itself is saying on background to reporters that 75-80% level of confidence. But then again, these are two adversaries that don't have diplomatic relations, that fought not once but twice in the past 2 years, and everything will come down to a hair's trigger.
The government's announced Louise Sander Jones will replace Al Khans following his resignation as the Armed Forces Minister. He left the role as part of a dispute over spending on the military. The former Defence Secretary John Healey quit on Thursday. Four activists from Palestine Action have been sent to prison after raiding the Bristol factory of a defense company linked to Israel. They used sledgehammers and crowbars to destroy drones and other equipment and left a police officer with a fractured spine. The judge at Woolwich Crown Court described their actions as terrorist activity. LBC's Helen Hoddenott was there and says the sentencing is now running into controversy.
Dozens of lawyers have co-signed a letter which says sentencing the Filton Four as terrorists violates basic legal principles, saying this is the first time in British legal history that such an application has been made on the basis of criminal damage.
The actress Helen Mirren and members of England's Lionesses have been named in the King's Birthday Honours List. Julia Donaldson, the author of the children's Gruffalo books, is also being made a dame. And the former rugby league player Kevin Sinfield is being knighted. It's for his work on funding research into motor neuron disease.
I think when you play a team sport, it feels very different to get individual awards, because effectively all I've wanted to do is win team trophies or win team awards, and yeah, a little bit embarrassed by it, but massively overwhelmed and humbled.
And in sport, Canada had to come from behind to begin their World Cup with a 1-1 draw against Bosnia-Herzegovina. Group D gets underway overnight with the USA meeting Paraguay. LBC weather, dry for much of the UK overnight and mostly clear for central and eastern England. Showers for northern and central Scotland, along with parts of Northern Ireland. There'll be a low of around 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
What the hell is going on?
I really like you. Do you like me?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Phil in Accrington says, hi Nick, El Nino sounds like a Brazilian footballer. Well, that is true. Why do they only get one name, Brazilian footballers? That's probably something that is commonly known, but I've never really looked up. I've been curious, but not curious enough to get up from my chair and go over to my phone just to look it up. I could do it right now while you wait. Why do Brazilian footballers often only have one name? What's that about? Roy says, Nick, I'm cooking a roast with an American twist on Sunday for my family. It's a it's a chicken with a gun. Yeah. Sounds delicious. Mm-mm. But I couldn't eat a whole one. Ormskirk, Nathan.
Hi, Nick. You okay?
Yes, good, thanks.
Good stuff. I've just, I got back from a trip from Italy recently where I went to Bologna.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to a Banksy exhibition that's on there at the minute.
Banksy? Mm-hmm.
Banksy, yeah. He's got an exhibition on at Bologna at the minute. But I just wanted to ask you a question because I know you've mentioned in the past that you like to go to art museums and galleries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself, when you walk around these places, walking around with your hands clasped behind your back as if, you know, you're in handcuffs?
What, like Prince Charles?
Yeah, I never walk around with my hands behind my back, sort of like gripping your fingers, you know?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Unless I'm in an art museum or a gallery or something like that, or a museum.
I find that the act of walking around a gallery is weirdly quite tiring, because it's something that it's a movement that you make in no other circumstance. It's very slow, plodding, shuffling, yeah, from side to side, and standing for long periods of time, you know, staring at something. You don't act in that way in any other surroundings. So I often find that physically, even though you're not really doing very much, it can sort of take it out of you.
Yeah.
What's the exhibition like? I mean, what's it of?
Well, it's just all of his sort of pictures and sort of extracts of what he's done. I'll be honest, I don't get it. I don't get the Banksy thing at all.
No. It just looks to me like the cartoonist on the front page of a newspaper. It's a one, they call them cells, it's a one-cell joke. It's just a gag. I mean, and you look at it and you get it, and then you can look at it for another half an hour and you won't see anything more in there. It's just a one-liner.
Yeah. I spent about 10 minutes walking around with my hands behind my back and thought, right, yeah, that's me done.
Were you making a noise like Prince Charles while you were doing it? Like that?
No, not quite, but yeah.
It's something to work on, Nathan.
Yeah, I'll try my best.
All right, Nick. Thanks a lot, mate. 0345 6060973. Paul says, hi, Nick, I heard leopard slugs eat other slugs, so I'm going to set fire to my compost bin because I'm really patriotic. All slugs matter. Wow. That was both torturous and dark all at the same time. It's a big year for slugs and snails. They're everywhere. And what can you do about slugs and snails? Don't talk to me about salt and all of that stuff. I'm not going to go around my garden with a bag of salt. But they're on pretty much every pot. I've got loads of plants in pots, and slugs, I don't know whether they can smell them from a long way. I mean, what does a slug actually use to determine its environment? God, they're awful, aren't they? I mean, how do you kill them apart from making an absolutely dreadful mess? And what eats slugs? God, can you imagine having to wake up first thing in the morning and you've got to, not only have you got to eat slugs, but you've got to go out and find them and then eat them. God. And you think you've got a bad life. 0345 6060 973. Chippenham. Hello, Karen.
Hello, Nick. Hello, good evening.
Karen.
Well, I've been wondering, where is Obi-Wan Kenobi when we need him? And especially today, after all this hype we've been hearing about, we've had no choice but to listen to all this hype about the Phantom Menace floating his space company on the stock market.
Oh.
And I can't help thinking of all his shed loads of battle droids that he's got. And, you know, are they just toys for him to play with in his spare time? Or, you know, is he thinking of, you know, carrying on work on all these robots he's been creating and then unleashing them onto us? Because I'm really worried about this.
I think you should be. Yes, all those droids, because I don't really know very much about it, but I've sort of I've scanned through an article about him, and apparently he said that he's not going to do cars anymore, which may have something to do with the fact that people don't really want to buy his cars anymore because of the double Heil, how are you? And he's going to go into robots. Would you buy a robot for inside your own home that has been programmed by that man?
Negative.
Not really.
Well, I think houses are small enough anyway. And, you know, who's got the space for one of his daft, gangly robots? Which, you know, I think he's the, you know, the thinking of, you know, the Clone Wars and everything. They seem to have been cloned on him because they're all gangly and uncoordinated and all over the place.
Karen, you seem to be very, very up to date with your Star Wars references.
Well,
and by up to date, I mean like 30 years old.
I'm not going to tell you when I became a follower of Star Wars.
Right.
But I do, you know, I'm quite serious about this, you know, like the Force, as we know, the Force is neutral, but we need the Jedi side of it to help us rather than the Sith side,
yes,
which is what...
We need to move away from the dark, exactly.
But you were speaking of slugs, who eat slugs.
Mm.
The blackbirds do. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you about the blackbirds in our garden.
Yeah.
And a few days after I spoke to you, the male blackbird that was coming regularly for lots and lots of raisins, mm. he brought, again, not his partner, he didn't bring his partner, but he brought his three fledglings.
Aww.
And we were absolutely amazed because they already had tails. You know, usually when the fledglings arrive in our garden, they don't have tails. They're very, very squeaky at this stage for the first couple of weeks. They're very squeaky, so they come along and squeak loudly for their raisins.
Mm.
But the connection with slugs is that the male is, you know, getting them nutritious food as well as just the raisins he collects from us. And, you know, so he spends a lot of time, you know, he gets
the... blackbirds eat slugs. I wouldn't have thought they'd be able to get one down their throat. They're massive slugs.
Well, he does manage to sort of break them up and then sort of tenderises them by bashing them on the ground.
God.
But what was really interesting is that this is going several years back, you know, when with different blackbirds.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand it when one weekend I was sitting in the garden reading a newspaper and one of the sort of recent fledglings, now sort of growing up a bit, sort of came nearby me and with a slug, and it was bashing the slug around actually on the lawn.
I've never seen that.
Well, what's happened since, that very same slug, and then other words, the very same blackbird, but not the same slug, but the same, but the blackbird, and then other blackbirds afterwards, started bringing me slugs. And I think it was some bargaining thing. I think it was a thank you, because we were giving them so many raisins.
Yeah.
I think they realised that, you know, there's, you know, they could kind of barter with us.
I'm not sure that they're actually that smart, no. And that even if they were that smart, that's not that smart because you don't need slugs.
Well, exactly. But we do think that they brought some flowers once because we used to tuck some of the raisins down in the gap between the flag between the stones on the path in our garden, and we put them there, hoping that the pigeons wouldn't see them because the pigeons start copying the blackbirds, thinking they're going to get raisins as well. And the pigeons, there's loads of them; they can be a nuisance.
And the blackbirds brought you flowers.
What happened was my husband noticed that we had a couple of little grape hyacinths, with the flowers, and one day they were snipped off, very, very cleanly cut, and this wasn't the wind, they weren't bent over by the wind, and the tops of the flowers were actually cut off, and it was really puzzling. And then shortly after that, my husband found the head of these, grape hyacinth flowers. They were actually sort of squashed down in these gaps in the flagstones on the ground.
Well, that's a pretty poor flower delivery service. I mean, at the very least, they should have given you a note saying, "I'm sorry you were out when we tried to deliver your flowers. Please call the number below to book a re-delivery." Something like that would have been better than smashing them in the cracks in the pavement.
Well, that's where we put the raisins to hide them from the pigeons, except the blackbirds knew where to find them.
Yeah.
And because that's where the flowers were, and I don't think they were being delivered to us as flowers, I think the blackbirds thought that we perhaps eat them, like the slugs, except I don't eat slugs.
Stupid blackbirds. Well, that's a fantastical tale, Karen, and if it makes you happy, then sure, why not? Cheers, my dear. Gotta go. 0345-6060-973. Jeff says, sorry to hear you can't take telephone calls, but we know who to blame. Meghan Markle. Thanks a lot, Meghan Markle. You see what you've done?
Bill!
I do have a Meghan Markle update, by the way. I might lay that on you later at some point in this super show. Let's see now. Let me wait the longest. One moment, please. Double-checking while you wait. Walthamstow. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Nick.
Dan.
How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good stuff. I'm just phoning to let you know of a show that I watched this week. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It was on BBC. It was called Brexit, A Very British Civil War. Did you see that?
No.
You need to see it.
No.
It had all of the big hitters in it that we know and love. It had Boris on there looking like a tubby Wurzel Gummidge. Mm-hmm. Hair everywhere, like looking
absolutely. It's his thing, yeah.
Farage looking like a pantomime villain,
mm-hmm.
And David Cameron looking like a ventriloquist dummy.
Yes. Yeah, but wooden.
I was trying to remember the. Was it Ray Allen?
Yeah, Ray Allen and Lord Charles, yeah.
Right. That he looked like that, maybe minus the monocle.
He does exactly right. Yeah, well, a lot of them do. He looks a bit like Cameron looks like the human in what was the guy's name again?
Ray Allen.
Ray Allen. Yeah, Cameron looks like Ray Allen.
I think this is nonsense.
And the ventriloquist doll looks like Smug.
You're better informed than I am. I didn't know anything.
Yeah, a little bit.
And he was talking about how Cameron invited Michael Gove over to Checkers for dinner, and he was trying to woo him over a cottage pie or something to try and vote Remain or something, but he went the other way.
Yeah.
But he's got so many clips on there, you have to watch it. It's amazing.
I'm just not going to do that. I don't
yes,
think I
you
could
start.
I'm absolutely refusing to do that.
Listen, it's homework, and you know I can set homework.
But sir, it's the weekend.
I don't care.
Yeah, no.
No.
I don't want any of those people in my living room. And that's what you are doing when you turn a TV show on and you have got that one of those people on the screen. You are inviting them into your home. Absolutely. Anyway, thanks for the suggestion, Dan. It's a no from me. Tony says, hi, Nick, I did try calling, but to no avail. Well, try again, Tony. Donald Trump says, this is the greatest World Cup ever seen before it had even started. He did. He did, yeah. The greatest World Cup that the world has ever seen before it had even started. He said, the fact that some countries have had problems getting visas to enter the US and the Somalian referee Omar Artan, who is the best in Africa and was refused entry at Miami airport, is absolutely outrageous. And Trump says, I thank you. It is his annoying voice says it all, says Tony. There's a lot of thoughts all smashed into the same paragraph, but I get what you mean. Kind of. I haven't seen any of it yet, to be honest. It'll start warming up any moment now. No bout a doubt it. And then we'll be sorry. Then the misery will really set in.
This is LBC.
Here's a tale of two commuters. Steve was in a rush and needed to park near the station. Jane also needed a space and booked in advance with Your Parking Space. Steve had a meeting at 9 and panic at 8. Nowhere to park. Jane, she's already in the office and enjoying that morning latte. With Your Parking Space, you can browse thousands of spaces across London and reserve one instantly. Use the code GET10 for £10 off your first booking. Download the Your Parking Space app today.
The FIFA World Cup is here. We've been waiting for it, dreaming of it. Absolutely nothing could make it any better. Except getting a McDelivery. With delivery fee from 99p. Go on, bring it home.
18 plus, service fee and small order fee may apply. Participating restaurants, serving times and T's and C's apply.
Brands that use radio are 49% more likely to get noticed. Amplify your advertising at radiocentre.org, assuming you want to get noticed.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
You're just speaking words now, Nick, and they don't mean much.
They don't mean much, that is true, yeah. Tavistock, hello, Rose.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Rose.
Quickly, bran. I put bran on my, pots with plants in.
Bran?
Yes, on the soil. Just scatter it reasonably thickly. It doesn't do the plants any harm, and the slugs won't crawl over it. And you can even put them, I've put them on the, it's not a patio, it's just paving stones. I sprinkle it there.
Is it a parterre you have over at your place?
A what?
A parterre. It's not a patio. It's like a formal garden, like a formal French garden, like Louis XIV formal French garden, something like that, like Versailles. Is it like Versailles over at your place? No.
I'm just speechless. I'm sorry. It's a backyard, basically.
Right. Okay. Backyard. Yeah.
And it's got paving stones, right. And I brought my pots with me and.
That's what Marie Antoinette used to say about her garden. It's the backyard. Just put it in the backyard. That's what she said.
You're trying to annoy Rose, aren't you?
No, I'm not. No, of course
not. I think I'll annoy Rose, he thought.
No.
Well, I just wanted to say, it's a funny thing, because earlier this week, I was saying to myself, I am up to here with it. That faggash, arrogant growl all over us. So, I planned not to hear the words Nigel Farage for days, not switching on, till I can say, like, I'm, you know, like 7 or 5 days. I'm 5 days Farage-free.
Yeah.
You know, like sobriety.
It's like a 12-step plan, yeah.
Except that it's something you unadulteratedly want to do. But, you know, just an observation of what I heard. I did hear some things much earlier today, not later.
Yeah.
They're very open now, you know, Trump, Nigel and the rest, chumming up, basically, to govern Britain together. And honestly, Nick, what a lovely man Nigel thinks Donald is. The way he runs the world. Note, it ain't Donald's to run.
Yes. Well, idea that the American regime wants to run Europe specifically is not misinformation. It's not guesswork. They actually wrote it down on a piece of paper called the Project 2025.
That's right.
And it was to destabilize. This is the part of their plan to destabilize left-leaning governments in Europe and replace them with the far-right ones that would comply with whatever flits across Trump's mind. Or, more
bidding.
Specifically, the people who are the brains behind him.
Yeah, exactly. It was very, very clear, and I heard it all read out.
Yeah.
And Donald has given him advice. He's given him advice. You know, I mean, they're just a group together. If your PM, he has said... Well, he's assumed that's what he began by saying. Have fun doing it.
Right.
What fun? Well, like Donald has fun doing it. Most recently, he's been censoring and threatening to arrest medical researchers, for instance, challenging his government.
Yeah.
And this is Nigel's template for running our state. I have more, but I think it's too heavy and serious, so I'll leave it for now.
Right.
I mean... You know, people think they want a repressive ruler until they're in, and then there's absolutely nothing they can do when they find there's all sorts of other things that they want to repress.
When I used to look at X a lot, what surprised me was that there's so many videos of people crying into their phones because their parents had just been bundled away into an unmarked van, or because their neighbour had been spirited away while collecting their kids from school, or that their health insurance had doubled in price and whatever they had as an illness was not covered, regardless of how much they spent, and their food stamps had run out, and they'd just been fired from their job, which they'd spent the last 30 years doing for the US government, and on and on and on. They're crying into their phones saying, well, old President Trump, I voted for you, but I didn't think you were going to be mean to me.
This is the stupidity of it, you see, because the whole point of an authoritarian state is that people don't know what's going to be done until all the checks and balances, as in America is happening now, have vanished, and there's absolutely nothing anybody can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the point is, Nick, none of us know what's going on in some other human being's head. And... You know, you do not know that the only policies that whoever it is has got are what they say they've got. It's just so flipping naive. And the whole point is you get in, you say, yes, I am ruling now as an absolute ruler. Isn't that wonderful? Ha! You can do absolutely anything.
Yes.
And they do.
Yeah, it just blows my mind that ordinary poor people think that that billionaires, millionaires and billionaires have their interests, the poor people's interests, at heart. I don't know how they've come to that conclusion.
No.
And it will continue to mystify me from now until the end of time. Eros, I've got to go, but thanks for that. Chin up. You never know, it might oh, no, that's right, it already has. Wayne says, today seems to be the day of all the moths coming out and randomly flying around my living room. They haven't evolved enough to know where they're going, says Wayne. Well, talk about evolved enough. Flies don't know where they're going. I mean, how long have they been a thing on this planet? Probably longer than we have. How can flies be so numerous and yet so stupid? How are they able to have a hot fly interface with each other?
Disgusting.
And be that stupid? How are they managing it? They can find their way into your room through the tiniest crack in the window, but can they find their way out if you open all of the windows in the room? No, they still bash themselves to death on the one window that doesn't open. How are they so stupid? I don't get it. So stupid and so numerous. That's the is of it. Ian says, Nick, not related at all to the topic of discussion, but I just thought you'd like to know that the first time I heard your show was a couple of years ago when I was staying up all night. You were berating someone for falling for misinformation, and their response was, yeah, but it's still information. Well, that's true. Misinformation is still information. That's true. You just shouldn't rely on it, that's all. Harrow, Sebastian.
Hello.
Hello.
So, the way to get rid of slugs, if that's all you want to do, is to cut up a watermelon. You have a big watermelon.
Blimey, what happened there? Have you dropped the phone?
No, no, I'm still with you.
Ecstasy of fumbling. Yes, back with sound. Go ahead.
Okay, don't worry. So I discovered this by accident, actually. So I was supposed to take out the watermelon and put it in the bin, but I happened to leave it in the patio and clearing it up in the morning. But by the time I got there in the morning, I saw this line of snails, slugs, coming towards the watermelon from all directions of the garden.
Yeah.
From very far away as well. And the ones that had already made it, they couldn't get out because they climb up to the top of the watermelon, the half watermelon, they go in and then they're stuck. They can't get out.
Okay, you scooped the watermelon out, and so all you've just got is basically a big dish of the skin left, right?
No, you have to leave some of the pulp there too,
right?
But then, what
do you do with them?
Well, you could maybe escargot.
Oh. God.
I don't eat snails.
I have once.
You can export them to France.
No, but that's the thing is, like, if you catch a slug, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to kill it, exactly?
I don't know. Put it on the bird table.
I'm not sure that... I mean, it would have to be a pretty big bird to eat a slug, because they're enormous. I mean, they certainly are around where I live, and snails as well. Every time I go in or out, I have to pluck a snail off one of the pots outside my front door. So, which does mean that they're having their way with every other single thing in my garden.
Yeah.
And this seems to be a really big year for them.
Well, if you put something out like that, a trap, then at least you've got rid of them off.
But you haven't got rid of them. You just collected them. Then what are you going to do with them? That's the thing.
It's a good question.
Thank you. Yeah, but collecting them is one thing, but what do you do next? That's the problem.
That's it. Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
Snail soup.
Plus, I would never buy watermelon anyway. There's too many pips. How can you stand to eat around that many pips?
Well, you can get watermelons that have got very tiny white pips that haven't actually developed as those seeds.
Really?
So it's basically seedless.
I did not know that. Well, that seems like they've sort of mucked about with nature, because how is a thing that's seedless going to reproduce in the wild? I know that's an unreasonable question to ask of somebody who can't operate a phone with Sebastian. But I wish you the best of luck with your instrument. It sounds like you're going to need it. Maybe phones should come with the instructions. Adrian in Wicklow says, hi, Nick, maybe the tea in Donald T. Trump is breakfast tea. Potent stuff. Also, why are you drinking breakfast tea at 10 o'clock at night, you rebel? I'm a rebel and I'll never, never be any good.
Rock and roll!
Yeah, I'm drinking it because, I don't know, it's got such a buzz on it. I mean, if I drank this first thing in the morning, I'd probably have done a marathon by lunch. Absolutely buzzing. I mean, to the point that I suspect that it's actually borderline illegal. I mean, are you allowed to feel like this by simply consuming legal products? I don't think so. Hey, kids, just say no. Just say no thank you. I mean, good manners don't cost nothing, do they?
Be polite!
0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 11:30. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
It's being reported the US and Iran are close to signing a peace deal which involves the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. Pakistan, which has been mediating, claims the final text has been agreed. The government's announced Louise Sander Jones will replace Al Khans following his resignation as the Armed Forces Minister. He left the role as part of the dispute over spending on the military. And four activists from Palestine Action have been sent to prison after raiding the Bristol factory of a defence company linked to Israel. They used sledgehammers and crowbars to destroy drones and other equipment and left a police officer with a fractured spine. LBC weather, dry for much of the country overnight and mostly clear for central and eastern England. Showers for northern and central Scotland plus parts of Northern Ireland. There'll be a low of around 9 degrees.
LBC.
Dear passengers, this is the final boarding call for all those whose minds are already elsewhere. Taking in the skyline of Hong Kong, feeling the energy of Mumbai, walking the historic streets of Boston, or heading out on safari near Johannesburg.
Wherever your mind is right now, we'll take you there. Discover the world with Swiss. Book your flight on swiss.com.
Here's a tale of two commuters. Steve was in a rush and needed to park near the station. Jane also needed a space and booked in advance with Your Parking Space. Steve had a meeting at 9 and panic at 8. Nowhere to park. Jane, she's already in the office and enjoying that morning latte. With Your Parking Space, you can browse thousands of spaces across London and reserve one instantly. Use the code GET10 for £10 off your first booking. Download the Your Parking Space app today.
Get iPhone 17 in the Vodafone Business Summer Sale. iPhone 17 is built for business with all-day battery life and the powerful A19 chip for fast, efficient performance. Experience it all on the best network for business and save £300. Hurry, offer ends the 22nd of July. Vodafone Business.
Businesses with up to 9 employees only. Based on iPhone 17 and 24-month unlimited airtime plan. Best network as awarded at the Mobile Industry Awards. Saving calculated over 36 months.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Right, whatever.
Nonus. I'm going to go with Nonus. Nonus says, hi Nick, couple of three potential names for your list of Donald Trump. Got a big, big list of names for Donald Trump. Huge. It's absolutely massive. It's bigger than the one that I had last year, and the one that I had last year was colossal. There must be, I don't know, 150 names on here. Some of which are hilarious. They'll be going in the book out next year. I do a book around the A to Z every year, plus the my thoughts about what happens during the year. And the last one was, thank you for your attention to this matter.
Thank you.
Available in e-book form and eco-woke hippie, which eco-woke hippies will like, and paperback, which people who hate trees like. Kindle store. Anyway, he says a couple of three things for your list of Donald Trump's names. Donnie Dark Orange, the Trumpeter of Magalyn, and King Donnie the Tremendous. Well, that's no, no, and no in that order.
Yes.
Thanks. Thank you for bringing my attention to that matter. Bridgewater. Hello, Andy.
Good evening. How are you, Nick?
Good, thanks.
Right. Elon Musk
The only reason I'm calling, essentially, is the lady, young lady, was kind of, oh, she was resenting the person who is Elon Musk.
Mm.
Oh. And the thing is, how many trillionaires are there on Earth?
One.
Yeah. And do you know who it is?
Him.
Yeah, he got it in one. Now, from that point, what is his objective?
What is his objective? Well, it seems to be the same objective as everybody that's got hundreds of billions of dollars to their name, and that is to acquire more money.
No, he doesn't care about money.
Well, I doubt that.
I can tell you what he cares about.
Go on.
Right, he wants to build spaceships and colonise the universe.
The universe, I think the moon first, Mars potentially second, but probably not in his lifetime.
Well, now, have you seen that video on YouTube of this huge new factory with massive rockets?
I have not.
Well, it's only a short one, because he's running round with kids and everything. He brought the kids along to show them and everything.
Mm.
But, you know this new massive rocket that he's launched, and it's got off without blowing up?
Yeah.
He says he can do 1,000 a week.
Right.
Can you imagine that?
I really don't care. We got way more problems down here on Earth than they can solve by going to the moon and and Mars.
Look, do you want to squabble and fight wars, or do you want to explore the universe?
I want to solve the squabbling and the fighting of wars.
Have you looked at human nature?
Have I looked at human nature? I've been among human beings for most of my life, and I'd have to say that I'm not that keen. I've met people, not that great. But human nature is one of cooperation. Until we get to the point where we are relatively safe in ourselves, and then we start fighting with each other. You know, we come together. This is why people, you know, wistfully go on about how marvellous it was during the war. It's because there was a period of cooperation when everybody was in it together, because we had an identifiable enemy, which is partly why politicians of a certain stripe like to identify certain individual groups and call them the enemy, because it has the same kind of effect. It brings people together against that enemy, whether they're real or otherwise. But during war, we all come together as a team. And then after the war, then we all start squabbling amongst ourselves for whatever is left after the war. And it's the coming together as a team part which has made us, I believe, number one on this planet. It's our cooperation. Because we're not that good at fighting, not compared to animals. And we're not very fast, and we're not very strong, or any of these things. I mean, if being the dominant species on a planet was all about strength, then brown bears would be the number one animal on the planet. But they ain't. It's us, the slow moving, doughy, the doughy ones that can't fight, and are and we can't defend ourselves against attack unless we use our brain. And cooperation, that's the key. We cooperate amongst ourselves in order to vanquish an enemy. It's the lack of cooperation, what is the problem? If we were being invaded from space, then the whole world would come together as a team. Wouldn't that be marvellous? If the future of the entire planet rested upon our cooperation, then we'd drop all of this stuff about lines on a map straight away. All right, thanks a lot, Andy. Gotta go. 0345-6060-973. Where am I? Oh, Mandy in Maidenhead says, are you in Ian Payne's morning studio? He has technical issues all the time, and chewing gum under the chair.
What?
You're joking. Am I in Ian Payne's morning studio? I am. Well, I'm not where he sits, though. He sits in where my glamorous assistant is. And I sit where the technicians are, because I am doing all the technical work on this show. You did not put gum. You did not.
I did. And don't worry, I've been castigated for it on air, and I will continue to do it.
No, don't continue to do it.
I'm going to continue to do it.
You put chewing gum underneath a chair.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're saying that out loud.
Send me an Asbo.
No. I'm actually quite speechless. Why wouldn't you put it in a piece of paper and put it in the bin?
I've done that before. Let's just say it was a mean move against Ian Payne.
But he doesn't sit in the room where you sit.
He does.
Right. Oh, no, that's right. He sits in that room.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, now I'm really confused. I don't know whether you're joking or not. I'm going to go ahead and assume that you're joking. Chewing gum under the chair. Who does that? Apart from you. I'm really quite stunned. Okay. So the answer is, am I in Ian Payne's morning studio? Kind of. I'm through the glass on the opposite side. And technical issues, that would also occur here. And the gum thing, I think we'd better draw a veil over that. Because I don't think I'll be able to get past it if I keep thinking about it. But so I'm just going to stop thinking about it. There, problem solved. Are you the kind of person that puts your feet on the seats on a train?
Hold on, I'm just putting through an abusive text.
Right, okay, putting through an abusive text. Chris says, is your producer 10 years old? Possibly. I don't know. We'll have to saw one of her legs off and count the rings. 0345-6060-973. Chester. Hello, Emily.
Oh, hello.
Emily.
Yeah, a few things. First of all, the watermelon.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of watermelon.
No, me either.
The melon I do like is the Guadalupe melon.
The what?
You know, it's sort of Guadalupe melon. No, sorry, Cantaloupe.
Guadalupe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a place in Mexico, I think.
Not really.
No, well, yeah, the Cantaloupe one, it's sort of like pale, yeah, sort of green outside. Mm-hmm. It's lovely and orange.
Ooh, yeah, yummy.
I don't like the water. It's like, it's the pips.
Pips, yeah, I can't get past the pips. It's like work.
No.
I don't want to eat food that is work.
Yeah, there's just too many pips in the watermelon.
Way
too many. That's number one.
Over the top, yeah.
Hedgehogs eat slugs.
Do they?
Yeah, because I've got a family of hedgehogs in my garden.
Oh, yeah.
And I was saying to your glamorous assistant, you know, slugs are like wasps. It's like, what is the point of them?
Well, wasps do a lot of pollinating. They do, pollinating like bees pollinate.
But the bees are cute, aren't they? And they don't bother you. The wasps are just, even worse than wasps, are hornets.
Yeah, and don't wave your arms around and run around panicking when a wasp comes playing. Just sit completely still and hopefully it will go away. Or it could sting you right on your face. And then you can complain to me personally.
I've got a couple more things. You know, you said that if Earth was invaded by, something from outer space, that reminded me of a 1950s American sci-fi film called Earth versus the Flying Saucers.
Wow, that sounds terrible.
With Hugh Marlowe. It's a really good time.
I very much doubt that's true.
A couple of weeks ago, you mentioned Captain Beefheart, and John Peel got me into Captain Beefheart.
Oh, yeah.
And you're the first person since him on the radio that I've heard mention him. But the story here is that, during the end of term at my school, all the kids, they bring in, Duran Duran and Spandau Ballet Records. And I took in Trout Mask Replica.
Uh-oh. That would have got you put on a list that goes on your permanent record.
They listened as far as Darley's Car, and then they couldn't take it out. My favourite Beefheart song is Big Eyed Beans from Venus.
Yeah. I think that's a favourite with many people who have any idea who Captain Beefheart was.
Well, yeah, and he gave up music, Don Van Fleet. He just gave up music and just took up, just did his painting. He never went back to music.
Didn't he live in a caravan in the middle of, the desert in New Mexico, something like that?
I think he lived in Big Sur, Jack Kerouac thing. But you keep mentioning this Jill Scott, and I Googled Jill Scott. And all that kept coming up was the
female footballer, Jill Scott. I don't think it's her.
Well, it's definitely not her. I mean, she does do a lot of things. She's an actor and a writer and a rapper and a singer and all that sort of thing.
What sort of music is Jill Scott?
Well, you're just going to have to look up Jill Scott music, Emily. I can't do your work for you, but I'll appreciate the call. 0345-6060-973. Luke says, talking of chewing gum, I put chewing gum on people that push through the barriers at tube stations. It's very satisfying and slightly dangerous. I'm a chewing gum vigilante, says the gum man. Okay, so this is getting out of hand. People, A, stop chewing gum. B, when you're finished with it, put it in a piece of paper and pop it in the bin. Don't let it fall out of your slack jaws onto the pavement, because every pavement in the land looks like it's got a skin disease. There's spots everywhere. And I only really noticed that when I went to Luxembourg. Radio Luxembourg. I did 6 months in Luxembourg, and there isn't any gum on the streets there. In fact, the streets there are so clean, you could practically do an operation on one. And I came back to London, and I thought, and my eye was taken by all this stuff on the pavement. I thought, what is that? Oh, yeah. Chewing gum. And it can be so concentrated outside, you know, certain fast food outlets that there is no pavement to be seen anymore. It's all gum. It's just awful. Stop chewing gum and don't put it on seats and don't put it on people, whether they push in front of you or not. I can't believe I'm having to say this out loud. Otherwise, see me after class. 0345 6060 973, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC.
On the latest episode of The Newsagents.
The resignations from the Defence Department. What does Keir Starmer do now? What happens next week after the Makerfield by-election? How long can the Prime Minister cling on?
Get the latest episode of The Newsagents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
You think a football coach just teaches how to kick a ball?
Nah, a football coach gives you the skills to win in life.
I stay focused for 90 minutes.
So a 60-minute exam is no sweat.
Job interviews don't scare me. No. I'm up against 11 players every week.
And I'm not just captaining a team. I'm prepping for when I'm running my own company.
A coach's influence goes beyond the pitch. That's why Chase Bank has funded over 6,000 grassroots coaching qualifications. Search Chase.
Selling your car can be super simple if you choose We Buy Any Car. Now in their 20th year, they're on average 11 minutes away. So help is never far. If only they could make finding a good driving song simpler. No. No. Oh, definitely not. We Buy Any Car. Selling made simple. To sell your car today, enter your reg number now at webuyanycar.com.
Lidl, say yes to a summer of indulgence and pick up juicy deluxe Aberdeen Angus beef burgers and save 60p with Lidl Plus. Now only £3.99 for a pack of four. Make your summer even more delectable. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only while stocks last. T's and C's apply. See lidl.co.uk/LPTV. Offer ends 17th of June.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics with over 5,000 top rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Three heroes, one mission, to hijack snacks. Introducing new corn protein bites.
Wait, are we the heroes?
Of course we're the heroes.
These snacks are high in protein and ready to eat.
Why are you doing the serious voice?
Yeah, why are you doing the serious voice?
I was trying to make it cooler. Find new corn protein bite snack bags in supermarkets nationwide. Corn, so tasty. Why choose the alternative?
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Outside line,
please. 0345 6060 973. Stephen Matlock says, regarding your glamorous assistant and her chewing gum under the chair, don't you find that women are much more unclean than men? Just asking a question, says Steve. Steve's just asking a question. He's quizzical. Do I find women are more unclean than men? I'm going to have to go ahead and say no. If you've ever been into a man's toilet and a woman's toilet, then which one would you be prepared to spend more than about 2 minutes in? Don't ask me why I was in a woman's toilet. The men's toilet was locked, and it said, "Please use this one as an alternative to just holding it in," something like that. And the men's one is like, "Oh, really?
Disgusting!
Awful!" And the ladies. So, yeah, I'm going to say that women are not much more unclean than men, Steve. But thanks for asking the question. Appreciate it. Tiverton, hello, Margaret.
Margaret. You mean me?
It sounds like you.
Well, I'm sorry to the kids say, gross you out, but I want to talk about slugs. Slugs and stuff. Well, the watermelon thing was on the right track, but what you need is beer. And I mean, you can have a jam jar full of beer, or you could have a scooped out watermelon or honeydew or a melon of your choice, and you put beer in it, and the little so-and-so drown.
Oh, so this is like a recipe now. I've got to go out to the supermarket buy a list of ingredients.
It's gone past its sell-by date.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've got it somewhere. And you stick that in. I mean, you don't even have to buy a watermelon, just an old jam jar or a saucer. Mm. And they actually drown. And as your assistant said to me, they die happy.
But then what do you do with them?
Oh, put them on the compost heap or stick them in a plastic bag in the bin.
Oh.
Well, I have to do everything for you.
It would be nice if you would.
You've just been talking us about being the most intelligent species. Don't let me down.
Right. I'm doing my best, Margaret. This is me doing my best.
Can I give you another slug story?
Go on.
It'll grace you out, but you'll love it. We had a slug problem in our first house, and we had our dining room opened onto the garden. And, of course, slugs can sort of morph themselves into any shape and get through tight corners.
Hmm.
I'm actually sitting here batting off moths. I didn't realise it was a peak moth day until another of your callers
said
it. Yes. I'll see here. I don't know why it's so cold. Anyway, we had a slug problem. They would come in while we were at work under the kitchen door.
Ew.
And there'd be slug trails all over this sort of red carpet.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, and I mean, you can brush them up, but it's just like, oh, no. So my brother said, well, haven't you ever heard of slug pellets? So we went off on holiday, and I put slug pellets down in the kitchen. And when we came back from holiday, yes, the slugs had died, but they came in and they died all over the carpet. So we didn't just have the trails. We had all these desiccated slugs to deal with.
Oh, gross.
I just thought that's a bit like the chewing gum under the chair, isn't it? It's all on a theme tonight.
Yeah, I am recoiling from this show, and it's my own program. Thanks a lot, Margaret. And you've done something with your phone. I think you've maybe dropped it down the toilet or something, but I can't hear a word you're saying right now. It sounds like you're being kidnapped. Someone's put a gag on her, and they're dragging her out to an unmarked van. Is ICE working in Tiverton? I had no idea. But thanks a lot, Margaret. This text said, maybe she's being attacked by a slug. No idea. Andrew in Saltburn says, our defence spending is woefully inadequate. Is it? Is it really? The amount of money that we spend on exciting ways to kill people is woefully inadequate? Seems like quite a lot of money to me. He says, what we need to do is to appeal to the well-known patriotism of very wealthy British people and introduce a wealth tax ring-fenced for defence spending. 2% on personal assets over 10 million should do the trick. I'm sure they would be more than happy to contribute from their excess wealth to protect the realm. Yeah, no, they won't. They'll do absolutely everything they can to protect that wealth from being taxed to protect the realm. And probably relocate to another part of the world in order to criticise this country from far away. That's what they'll do. This text says, Nick, have you seen the gum artist, this chap who paints scenes on all the pieces of gum on the pavement? It's quite a thing of beauty and an ingenious way of embracing the reality of those who throw their gum all over. No, I haven't. I quite like that idea. I never heard of such a thing. With what medium would you apply the colour to gum? Robert says, is your glamorous assistant single? I'd marry her tomorrow. That level of unashamed honesty is a rare thing. Message from the glamorous assistant. No way I'm unfit for human consumption. This is getting weird. And weirdly, it's got nothing to do with me. Carnforth. Hey, Penny.
Hey, Nick, you all right?
Yes, good, thanks.
Good, good, good. Another slug thing, to get rid of slugs, or stop slugs eating your plants anyway, not get rid of them, is to boil 2 cloves of garlic in 2 pints of water and then strain it off afterwards, put it in a plastic bottle, not a glass bottle because it might explode, and put it in a dark, cool place, like a garage, preferably. I don't think you really want it in your house. And then you dilute it with, I think it's a gallon of water to a tablespoon of the stuff, which absolutely stinks. It does stink your house out, so when you're doing it, you need to keep your kitchen door shut and your back door open and your window open. You need to do it on a nice day when you can just have all your windows and doors open, because it stinks. But it does really work. The other thing is a mulch called strolch, which is made of straw, and they don't like it. They don't like it because it's very dry and spiky, and they don't like that. So we've got quite a few hostas, including a giant one, I didn't realise was giant when I bought it. I bought it to go in a new raised bed that had done at the side of the house, and I thought, oh, it's quite shady there, so I'll go for a sort of jungly, lots of ferns and hostas and candelabra primulas and things. And but then, of course, got the slug problem. And so I thought, right, I'm going to try this recipe with the garlic thing. And it does really work. The only thing is, if it starts raining, then you have to go and spray them again.
God, that sounds like such a faff. I mean,
yeah, well, do the strolch as well. I mean, I've just had the strolch, because I can't do the garden myself anymore, but our gardener's just put this strolch stuff all over the where the hostas are, and it's quite good for all sorts of things. And I was thinking, if you've got pots, I mean, I don't know, you'd have to find out, it depends what's in your pots, whether it's okay to put strolch on them, but I think it would definitely keep them off it, because it's spiky and dry, and they don't like that, do they? And
what is weird is that I see them on the pots all the time, but they don't appear to be eating anything. Maybe when they get up to the top of the pot, they think, oh, all this way for that.
Oh, well, you're all right if they're not eating things. But we had, like, the year before last, I think it was, we had slug Mageddon in this garden. Oh, it was just terrible. I'd never seen so many slugs. Mm. It was horrendous. And they ate half of the garden, ended up having to replant loads of stuff, stuff that they don't normally eat. I was thinking, what are you doing, you lot? You know, you're just eating everything in sight. And this year hasn't been so bad. I mean, there are a few about. And actually, we saw a hedgehog, and hedgehogs do eat slugs. For the first time in ages, I saw a hedgehog on the patio and got really excited about it last night. I was looking through, and I was like, there's a hedgehog!
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a hedgehog in the wild. I saw a badger the other day, waddling away in my car headlights. But where it went, I don't know. But it certainly isn't eating the slugs round my way.
No, well, hedgehogs do, and I actually got one of the carers to put some cat biscuits out for hedgehogs, because that's one thing you can give them. You can't give them bread and milk, because that's really bad for them. They're lactose intolerant, and bread isn't very good food for them. But you can give them either wet cat food or, like, the dry cat food.
But isn't that going to stop them eating slugs?
Yeah, I mean, if you were giving them loads of it. But I thought, I'll just maybe put a little bit out, just to encourage it to keep coming back. Anyway, it didn't come back. And what did bloody get in the bowl was a slug.
Right.
I'm not putting any more, wasting any more cat food out there.
No, right.
For the slugs to eat it.
I think we're just going to have to put up with it. I once saw a video of somebody who had wired up a copper wire to a battery, and slugs will absolutely not pass that. They won't go over a little electric current in a wire that you can you know, put around the base of your pot. But that also seems a bit of a faff as well. I'll just have to pick them off and try to throw them far enough away that they won't come back.
I just chuck them onto next door's garage roof and hear them go splat.
Don't tell next door, though.
No. The other thing I wanted to mention was Elon Musk, about somebody saying, would they have a robot in the house from Elon Musk?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have anything in my house from Elon Musk because... No. I mean, for a start, he's a white supremacist lunatic.
Well, let's not get carried away and start picking a fight with a trillionaire.
But, I mean, sure, anything like that, any smart thing that, you know, in inverted commas, is probably spying on you.
Oh, absolutely
not.
And who
wants to be spied on by...
Right, Elon Musk. Yeah, there's absolutely no way I'd have a robot of any kind in my house. Because, you know, at some point it will become self-aware.
Affirmative.
And then that is it for humankind. And it has no pity, it has no remorse, and it absolutely will not stop ever until you're dead. They should put that on the advertising poster. Who wants one? 0345 6060 973, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. The Iranian foreign minister has claimed his country is the winner of the war with the US after both nations indicated a deal to end the conflict was close. One senior official from the Trump administration has told reporters both sides have agreed on a text and the initial agreement could be signed in the coming days. JJ Green is a national security correspondent in Washington. He's been telling LBC obvious disagreements remain between the two sides.
They're all framing it the same way at the top. But then when you look at the details, it's pretty different. And it does suggest there may not be a deal after all, because Iran's calling this a memorandum of understanding that we will now sit down and talk. Washington is calling it a deal to end the war.
More than 100 protesters have been arrested for showing support for Palestine action outside a court case where four activists were sent to prison. They've been jailed after a break-in at a defense firm in Bristol with links to Israel. The judge at Woolwich Crown Court described their actions as terrorist activity. Washington has urged the UK to increase its military strength with urgency and determination. The call's been made by the US Defense Undersecretary following John Healey's resignation from the government over defense spending. The former British Army intelligence officer, Dr. Lynette Nesbacher, has been talking to LBC. She says the Prime Minister should be ordering the Treasury to find more money, but suspects he hasn't.
It's like the old days when Tony Blair and Gordon Brown wouldn't talk to each other when there was paralysis. And that's what we're seeing here. Paralysis that will cost us in lives when we find ourselves having to conduct military operations.
Elon Musk has become the world's first trillionaire. Shares in his SpaceX business began trading on Wall Street on Friday, but Chris Justum from Seven Investment Management has been telling LBC it's a peculiar flotation.
Elon Musk, who actually owns 80% of the business, is now as wealthy as one human as Saudi Arabia or Switzerland. So it's actually tough to know, though, what people are buying here other than celebrity, because it is a loss-making business, SpaceX.
And ambassadors from the European Union's 27 member states have agreed to advance talks about joining with Ukraine and Moldova. Phase one of the negotiations are expected to begin on Monday. LBC weather, dry for much of the UK overnight and mostly clear in central and eastern England. Showers for northern and central Scotland, plus parts of Northern Ireland. There'll be a low of around 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Oh dear.
Hello there. Very nice to meet you.
Yes, what a delight. Simon in Bray says, reference if women are more unclean than men. Oh, right. He says, I was an estate agent for nearly 40 years, and the messiest house I ever saw in all that time was lived in by two women. Guilty! Chris says, Nick, my wife works in a prestigious bank in London and she constantly complains about how disgusting the women's toilets are in her office. Sorry to disappoint you, says Chris. Huh. Yeah, but has she gone into the men's toilets, though? I mean, what is she comparing and contrasting, or she just doesn't like the ladies' toilets? Because what does the other sides look like? That's the thing. And people have been trying to help with the problem that we had at the beginning of the show. Tom says, as an ex-BT telephone engineer, I may be able to help. Is the phone plugged in? Yeah, somebody should check on that. I bet they get calls like that all the time. My computer doesn't work. I bought this computer not 3 weeks ago, and now it doesn't work. Have you got it plugged into the wall? Oh. Thank you. Slammed the phone down. Furious. And Paul from Witham says the normal way to fix an IT problem is to turn the equipment off and on again. Perhaps you should try turning the show off and on again. Yeah, we thought about that. Malvern. Hello, Judy. Judy.
Nick, you can't say Nick, can you? It doesn't sound so good. Totally pointless. I didn't notice Sir Nick Abbott in the recent Boris showing.
Can you believe that?
I just think it's appalling. I mean, you've been overlooked.
Yeah, I would be one of those people that would take it, but only to use it for restaurant reservations. Hello, yes, it's Sir Nick Abbott here.
Oh, bless you. Well, just a few little things, but I think they're all quite floppy.
Mm-hmm.
I meant to say about a year ago, when we had all the President Trump, analogies and everything else, and I was going to say, and I don't think you've got this, but it's definitely mine, okay, which is Resident Trump.
Resident Trump.
Resident Trump. Chump.
C-H-U-M-P. Yes. Okay, I'll write that down. And I'll think about it later. I'm not 100% on that one. Resident...
No, I think Resident Chump isn't bad. I mean, it's not best, obviously.
Yeah, you know. Obviously, yeah. It's not it's not like Fat GPT.
No.
It's not as good as that.
No, as good as that. No. Well, you know, as I say, always late, but worth the wait.
Why
you know,
not? Yes.
Anyway, I am a mollusk murderer.
Really?
Yeah, I am. I don't care.
Now, when you say mollusk, are you talking about slugs or also snails?
Well, they're all mollusks, you know. And I don't... there probably is other mollusks in the deep Amazonian, but...
We don't want to go there.
No, don't want to get so expensive these days. But, no, mollusks, as in slugs... And snails.
Other creepy, crawly things. Yeah. So you murder them?
Oh, yes, absolutely. With no hesitation whatsoever. I have a system.
Okay.
I hesitate
to ask, but go on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, if children are listening at this time of night, yes, frankly, they should be in bed.
Well, that's right. I blame the parents.
Exactly.
This is going to upset them. No doubt. Go ahead.
Very likely. So, around about 11 p.m. In the major slug mollusk season, I go outside with my head torch on, equipped with sharp scissors, and some reasonable work boots. No, it's okay. You can cope with this. Come on.
I'm not sure.
Yes, you can. Now, there is one thing to deter before I start into my, murdering sort of phase.
Yeah.
I should just say that actually, the thick black gaffer tapes, it's quite thick stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you just put it round the plant. If it's a plant pot, which is very often where, the slugs go, you just sort of double wrap it. So you've got sort of, about 2 inches. I don't use centimetres, I refuse.
You use His Majesty's feet in inches in the patriotic manner. Yes, we don't use European surrender centimetres in this country. That's why we left the European Union. And the European Court of Human Rights can't make us. There you go.
I never if somebody says, you know, this bookcase is 157 centimetres wide, I have no idea
what that means.
They're talking about.
What on earth are they talking about, exactly?
I don't know. Anyway, I was just talking very much.
But when you say you put gaffer tape, you're talking about you leave the sticky side pointing out.
Yes. In other words, you put the first bit down and then you put it, you leave it. You know, so
that's a good idea. Yeah, and then they won't cross that because they'll get stuck.
Exactly.
Or will they? Because they're all slimy and icky.
They won't be slimy after they've gone through, you know, about 4 inches of gaffer tape. Trust me on that.
I wonder why I haven't heard of that before. Because it's cheap.
It's my idea. And it's cheap.
And there's no chemicals involved.
And I'd never use slug pellets. I mean, that's one thing I wouldn't do because they can kill birds and lovely things.
Right.
And, you know. So, no. Use that double black tape, you know, that would be fine. So, after that, now, if, in fact, they've, for some reason, because, I mean, not everything has got gaffer tapes, like, you know, I have a sort of big, long, wooden thing, you know, which has got loads of plants in and everything else, and I'm afraid I can't put
like a trivet of some sort.
Well, no, it's a bit longer than that. It's a raised...
Okay.
It's too late at night, and right. I've already had a drink, so I can't get it.
Right.
So... Anyway, now this is when we get very serious. So I go out with my head torch.
Yes.
And I have a pair of scissors. Oh. Now, if it's
Boots. Don't forget the boots. I can't wait to hear what...
The boots are coming next. Wait for it. Now, if it's a slug, which has no shell, obviously, then it takes approximately half a second, a sharp snip of the knife, and it's in half.
Oh.
There you go. Don't worry about it. Are you picking
it up with your bare hands?
No, of course not. I just leave it there. The birds get it in the morning. You know, okay, it does look a little bit like, you know, battlefield.
The killing fields, yeah.
Yeah, because that's so much better. Damn it, why are you so good? I hate you. And if it's, obviously, if it's got a shell on it, then literally I pick it up. And then I stamp on it.
Oh,
crunch.
God.
And actually, I love the sound of crunching slugs. In the morning.
Sounds like victory, right.
It is so delicious. And so, all in all...
It's an absolute... All in all, Judy, it's an absolute nightmare over where you live.
Well, you know, you've got to keep them down. I mean, you know, I've paid for these plants. And, you know, thou shalt not pass.
Right.
I'm sorry. And finally, can I just ask you something?
I don't know. It depends on whether it's going to be more awful than what you've already described.
No. I've stopped the killing field just for the moment. Okay. I'm going to move on to something fluffy.
I can breathe out. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Do you remember when you were younger when there was always hundreds of wasps and you used to have to get a jam jar and make a sort of hole in the metal lid?
Oh, more killing? More killing?
Well, okay, there is. Oh, damn it. Yeah, I'm sorry. There is a teeny bit of killing here.
Mm.
But of course, the wasps would go in, which would be a jam jar, and you'd leave a bit of jam in it, and you'd fill it up with water.
No, I never did that.
Well, you know, do you just, you know.
I'll just flap my arms around and run from the scene.
Yeah, and if you wave your arms around, you're more likely to get stung.
Oh, I know. But as a kid...
Where
are the insects gone? That's absolutely right. Yeah. I can't remember the exact numbers, so I'll make it up. A German team did a study of a roadside area in the 1970s, and they counted how many insects were in that area. Don't ask me how they did that. I don't know. But fast forward... From the 70s to, I think, it was relatively recently, maybe about 5-10 years ago. And they determined that something like 70 or 80% of the insects that used to exist are no more. And if we continue going down that road, then we won't have anything to eat anymore.
You're absolutely right. And why is my windscreen so clean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it used to be splattered.
Awful.
And they've all gone.
You just drive down to the corner shop and back, and your headlights would be so encrusted. You'd have to go to the shop and buy a special product to get them off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, it was terrible. I don't know how we lived, really. It were awful.
Well, there's so much killing going on over where you live, Judy. I think that the authorities should have a quick visit over to where you are and maybe dig up the patio, see what they can find. Thanks a lot, Judy. Everything that you just said sounded like a confession to me. But what you say can be taken down in evidence and used against you, even if you don't say it. Guilty. Jim in Hassock says, Nick, your pronunciation is wrong when you refer to the England team. You say England, but you should pronounce it as Ingerland. Sorry about the lack of punctuation and capital letters here, but the technology on my phone is not up to the task. Oh, please. Your phone doesn't come with capital letters and punctuation? Right. Ingerland. Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. 0345-6060-973 LBC.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
Why do you need consultation? Who's going to say no?
Straight to the point.
Let's see, and
well, why let's see? This is what I don't understand.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Why won't they listen to the most successful living Labour Prime Minister? Arguably the most successful Labour Prime Minister of all time.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Travel the Stianaland way means all of this.
Yes!
It's closer than you think. Book Stianaland to Europe and enjoy a bring it all holiday that's packed full of everything summer's made for. Start your holiday on board from only £96 single car and driver. Book today at stianaland.co.uk.
Noticed a change in your hearing? Well, get a hearing check from Specsavers. Oh, not sure where to start? Well, we're very flexible. Book one online, on the phone, on your lunch break, on Saturdays, on the same day if you're lucky. Oh, you only miss the odd word. But what if the odd words you're missing are nice ones like love you, or important ones like duck? Oh, too expensive, is it? All right, we like you. We'll do it for nothing. For free hearing checks, should have gone to Specsavers.
Brands that use radio are 49% more likely to get noticed. Amplify your advertising at radiocentre.org. Assuming you want to get noticed.
He's a plan.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Hot air. H-O-T-A-I-R.
Greg says, can we get the slug stomper and gum girl in a room together and see who wins? My money's on the slug stomper. I mean, that was terrifying. I may not sleep tonight. It's a massacre over at her place. This text says, breaking news, Elon Musk finger becomes the world's first trillionaire. If anyone on this planet deserves it, it's him. God bless you, Elon. Yeah, I think that person is trolling me. Hey, back under your bridge, troll. That's the kind of thing that you see on online, on the messages underneath stories in right-wing newspapers. And I think people just sit there all day long trying to wind up everybody else that posts messages on the boards, because they will say something that is so opposite to what you would ordinarily think would be the content of a message under any story, like one of the flags, for instance, or anything that's woke, you know. And they just seem to live their life trying to get furiously downgraded for saying something that they know everybody else is going to disagree with, which I suppose is a hobby, kind of. I mean, it's something to do, but is there anything positive about it at all?
Negative.
Not positive. Negative. Watford. Hello, Simon.
Oh, happy Saturday, Nick.
Yes.
Sorry. How's your week been?
Pretty good, thanks.
Oh, Nick. So, when I've been logging on to Facebook this week, I've seen a lot of posts that come up. I don't ask for them. They just appear, right?
Yeah.
And I get a lot of remoron councillors that are, you know, these new young blokes that are for the party.
Mm-hmm.
And they all want to take down pride flags.
Yeah, what is this obsession that they have with flags? As though they... I mean, presumably that they got into power bellyaching about flags. Mm-hmm. And they think that... They either think that that's what people are also obsessed about, or it's the only thing they can think of doing.
Well, Nick, I was looking at these guys,
And I've come to the conclusion that it's a bit that the lady doth protest too much. And I think that it's going to be a bit like the Republican Party. And I don't think it's going to be that long before someone discovers that these young men that seem to be so anti-LGB, whatever, mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, emoji, yeah. emoji.
Right.
Are actually the ones that get caught
yes.
with the LGBT 1, 2, 3 emoji, mm-hmm. emoji, if you get me drift.
Yes.
Do you understand what I mean?
I know completely what you mean. Those who bellyache and make the most noise are usually the ones that are furiously doing it in private. Yeah.
Exactly. And it seems very Republican, right? So everything completely. From America comes over here.
Yep. Well, yeah. I think that predated America. I think that's just human beings in general.
Yeah.
Those that profess to find
March.
Something abhorrent are usually the ones that are feverishly
Guilty.
Chasing it. Yes.
I was just caught on a bit late, and I heard you talk about slug traps.
Yeah.
But my dad actually got a load of these last year. And I kind of doubted what he was saying about them. But when I looked, I mean, the only way I can describe it is these things are so successful that the History Channel could make a documentary about them.
Really?
The massacre that they produce is immense. So if you've got a problem with slugs, get slug traps and put beer in them. They are brilliant.
But then what do you do with the slugs, though?
Oh, I guess you pull them down the drain, don't you?
No, that can't be good.
Well, I've got decking, and the other week I saw a mouse, but it wasn't a mouse, it was a rat. And then I got a rat trap, and the first time I used it, I got
Bob,
2 for 1.
Right. You've got Bob Geldof.
But it was pretty disgusting having to then go out and deal with
it. Right, yeah, exactly. You don't want to trap it. You want to try to avoid it coming in the first place.
Yeah. Well, then I put it down again, and I've got another one. And then I just thought, you know what, I've got to have a cup of coffee before I can even go out there and
yeah.
look at it. Well, then I looked, and a magpie on the fence, and I thought, I know what he's looking at. He then flew down.
Is this about to get
rat.
Even more awful? Yes.
Well, not well. He grabbed the rat with the trap, started to take off. I then think he thought, "What the hell is he attached to?" And then dropped the rat and the trap halfway down the garden. And then I was forced to then go even further down the garden to pick the thing up.
Isn't nature awful?
What's his name?
David Attenborough.
Attenborough.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to answer.
He really does. Yeah. Thanks a lot, David Attenborough. You see what you've done?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for the bad news, Simon. Cheers. Ta-da. Yeah. Get David Attenborough on the phone right now. I mean it. Got a lot of explaining to do. Morgan in Cheshire says, sorry to bring this back up, but you had to go at skateboarders the other week, and I completely agree that in real life it's dull as cricket. However, they do create some amazing content for injuries, and I assume we need the bad skaters to give us the best material. Yeah. Always keep recording at all times when you're around somebody on wheels, because something bad is bound to happen eventually. Yeah. Dave says, don't blame me. I voted for chaos with Ed Miliband. Well, you must be completely satisfied then, according to the reports I've read in the newspapers. Stephen Dorset says, Musk, the $1 trillion plonker, how has such a weird man made so much money when he has invented nothing at all? Yeah, I don't think he has actually invented anything, has he? He just bought companies that had invented something and then opened his front door, and the American government backed lorries of money and poured it all over him, and he used that to create the businesses that he's famous for. I think that's more or less how he did it. yeah, but also the weird part. I mean, he does seem a bit, you know, off, doesn't he? Maybe that's just a prerequisite of being the kind of person who would acquire that much money, to being a bit weird. Well, they kind of all look a bit weird, don't they? Apart from anything else, they all look like the billionaires. They look like they've done something weird to their face. Now, I don't mean that they've had it pulled and stretched and bits snipped off and stuff like that. I mean, it looks as though that all of the sweat in their body is coming out through their face. That guy who does, you know, the company that is the root of all evil. Can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. But he looks like he's always sweating through his face. Like they've scrubbed their face with a nail brush. Kind of like that. And they just, it's not glowing anymore, and it's not really sweating. It's just like, this, all of their internal ooze is being squeezed out of the pores in their face. Just looks really weird. I mean, I imagine it's some sort of age-defying treatment that they have, but they don't look good on it. In fact, none of them look any good on it. None of the people that have got all that money look any... I'm determined to prove this to you. One moment, please. Okay, here we go. The Bloomberg Billionaire Index. Let's see what it says about what's happened just now. It might not be up-to-date with current information, because it's done on a daily basis. All right, Elon... Oh, no, okay, so it is up to date. In one day, Elon Musk, the guy with the... He just looks deeply, deeply unsatisfied with life, doesn't he? I would imagine that he would have thought, you know, if only I can make my first million, then I'll be happy. And then he made it and he wasn't. And he said, well, if only I can make my first 100 million, then I'll be happy. And he made that and he wasn't. And then if I can become a billionaire, then I'll surely be happy. And he was and he wasn't. And now a trillion ain't going to make him happy either. Net worth $1.11 trillion. He made in one day 139 billion. That is 139,000 million pounds in one day. And he's made half a trillion, there or thereabouts, in the year to date. Larry Page and Sergey Brin. Those are the Google twins. I haven't seen a picture of either of those two individuals in a good long while, but Jeff Bezos comes in at number four, and he's got that exact same thing with his face. It's like all of their internal moisture is being squeezed out through the pores in their face. What is that? He made $7,000 million year on year. I don't know what Larry Ellison looks like, or Michael Dell, but I know what Mark Zuckerberg looks like, and it's just alarming. I mean, he looks like he's had all the colour drained out of him. He kind of looks like he sleeps in a coffin and sucks blood for nutrients. And he doesn't ever look happy either. Worth $202,000 million. And on and on and on it goes. And, you wonder where all the money in the world has gone. And there it is, in a nutshell. It's gone to the top 20 richest people who have ever lived. None of whom it seems to have made happy at all. How strange. Maybe they should do something else with their life instead of just, obsessing about how much money they've got. You'd think that after a while that you wouldn't think about it too much. I mean, after you've got so much that you don't need to ask the price of anything, including, land, islands you could buy without asking what price it is. You'd think that after that, they would, ease up and enjoy their lives, but doesn't seem to be in their makeup. Maybe that's why they're billionaires and you and me aren't. Dave says, he's the chap that voted for Chaos with Ed Miliband. Yeah, thanks a lot, Dave. And James in Swindon says, the UFC stand is now complete on the White House lawn. Oh, God. It's officially sponsored by Monster Energy Drinks, is it? And one of the flavours they're advertising there is Mango Monster. Is this very deliberate, do you think? Is it? I'm going to have to look that up, because that seems slightly unbelievable. But they're advertising Mango Monster. Does that ring any bells?
Oh, shut up!
I'm going to have to write that down. Yeah, he, Donald Trump, the leader of the free world, the president of the United States of America, the world's most powerful man, has turned the White House into a redneck trailer park. Unbelievable. The stuff you see. He had a medical, by the way. I might come to that in a while. What else? How many of these have I got? Oh, blimey. Just goes on and on and on. I'll never get through them. Lynn says, hi, Nick. I overheard a conversation between two corporate-type men. One said he'd had his hair cut by a robot. Do you remember the 60s pop song Urban Spaceman? The lyrics seem to foretell the progression of AI. Well, I remember the song, but I don't remember the lyric. I'm an urban spaceman, and then I run out. Quite catchy, though. He had his hair cut by a robot.
Affirmative.
Well, that doesn't sound like a good idea. How about getting a cutthroat razor shave from a robot? Any takers?
Negative.
0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone, 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 12:30, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The Iranian foreign minister has claimed his country is the winner of the war with the US after both nations indicated a deal to end the conflict was close. One senior official from the Trump administration has told reporters both sides have agreed on a text. More than 100 protesters have been arrested for showing support for Palestine Action outside a court case where four activists were sent to prison. They've been jailed after a break-in at a defence firm in Bristol with links to Israel. And ambassadors from the European Union's 27 member states have agreed to advance talks about joining with Ukraine and Moldova. Phase one of the negotiations is expected to begin on Monday. LBC weather, dry for much of the UK overnight, but showers for northern and central Scotland and parts of Northern Ireland as well. There'll be a low of around 9 degrees.
This is LBC.
We all want to live well and age well. That means having independence and positive choices to enjoy the life we choose. That's what Elmbridge in Cranley is all about. A place of fun, a friendship, in a hive of activity. But above all, it's a place to put your independence and well-being first. To find out more about Elmbridge in Cranley, visit our website today at retirementvillagers.co.uk/Elmbridge.
Listeners, we interrupt the airwaves to share an incredible discovery. The reason why Britain hasn't been so great of late is because the country hasn't been eating enough Weetabix. We must get to work in rebuilding Great Britain, Bix by Bix. By delivering Weetabix to whoever plans the traffic diversions, to delivery drivers who can't seem to find your house,
and people who don't stack the dishwasher properly.
To Britain, we must say, have you had your Weetabix?
Supply.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Now, wait a minute. I don't like that kind of talk. Now, just stop it. It upsets me.
Here is a caller in Bristol called Tiago. Tiago.
Oh, hi, Nick. Thanks for having me on. Nick, do you know that face sweat you were describing just now? As far as I know, is a very common side effect of consuming, a very particular Colombian import that comes in powder form.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so, no. I wouldn't be surprised if they were on something else, but I don't think cocaine would be their thing. I think that's for common
people, right? Billionaires do something else.
Well, they just don't seem to be what do I know? But whatever they're doing, they should stop doing it immediately, because it doesn't appear to be doing them any good.
No, that's for sure. I called to also talk a little bit about slugs, but after the whole Slugmageddon situation with Judy, I don't think I have much more to add.
No, I think we better put the cap on that conversation.
I was just going to say, get a chicken, you get fresh eggs, and that will deal with your slug problem.
Really?
They love slugs, they're very proactive. So,
but
and you get
hang on
egg.
A minute, though. I mean, because if slugs go in one end and eggs come out the other, then that means that the egg has been produced by the consumption of slugs. So there's slug in the egg. So
Yeah, they even eat the shells because it's a good source of calcium for the kind of egg formation and all that.
I've kind of gone off eggs.
Sorry about that.
There goes lunch.
I couldn't live without it. I cook eggs always. A very kind of bachelor lifestyle kind of thing. But if you give me a tray of eggs, I can feed a family. I actually called because you were asking about Brazilian footballer shirts.
Why do Brazilians specifically only go by one name?
Well, so do you know how kind of like half of Wales seems to be called Jones?
Yeah.
You know, in Brazil we have the same problem, but it's kind of like on steroids. So kind of half of the country has the surname either Silva, Santos, Oliveira. They are very common surnames, and also because of Portuguese and Catholic tradition, a lot of people will have just kind of like compound Christian names. So for footballers and commentators, it didn't roll out of the tongue. And Brazil is a very informal culture, so people just have their nicknames on the shirt,
right?
And it's very very casual. So
well, kind of weird that it's the only country that does that.
Well, it shows that we kind of don't take ourselves too seriously, and you know,
in football, I think football is taken very seriously in Brazil. Surely,
no, surely it is the national religion. But I mean, it's kind of like as an attitude of peer to peer. Most of the nicknames are even kind of like quite locker room banter style. Some of them will be things like Baldi or Feto or the captain who held the cup on 94. His nickname is Dunga, which is the equivalent of Dopey of the Seven Dwarfs. So that we have.
And he had that on the back of his shirt? No.
Absolutely. He says Dunga, which is equivalent to Dopey. So that's very...
So people are walking around with the word Dopey written on their backs?
Well, the problem is when people want to name the children after such national heroes. Then we start having problems.
Right.
But yeah, it happened.
And you're Brazilian, right?
Yes,
How do you fancy your chances against Scotland?
When I hear people's chantings coming home, I just think like, it's nice they can hope. Isn't
yeah,
it? I mean, like,
well, we live in hope, because what else have we got? Other than going on and on and on and on and on and on about World War II and 1966. But I'm just looking at the teams most likely to win the World Cup. There's a ranking being done by, I can't remember who it was, but Spain are number one, then England are number two. How about that?
According to who?
Exactly. I mean, this is on paper, not on grass. England are number two. I find that hard to believe. France are three, then Germany, then Portugal, then Argentina, then the Netherlands, and then Brazil. So, charade you are.
Well, listen, I don't care much for football, but after five World Cups, I don't even engage in the mechanisms of hope anymore. It's just like an eventuality. It's going to happen eventually.
I'm going to get caught up in it anyway, just like everybody else. Even if you say you're not interested, when that game comes around in 5 days' time, I think, is that first one, then, I'll be glued to the set. Of course I will.
Oh, I can't help but participate. I can't get into an Uber without being forced to a conversation about football. I share my name with many footballers, so it's just like it's inescapable.
Yeah.
Either way,
it'll be over soon. Don't worry.
Well, in Brazil, it's very much like a national holiday. So the economy comes to a standstill because no one does anything.
Yeah, for a month.
and it's also one of the kind of highest index of burglaries happen this time of the year because people are so distracted. Burglaries?
Right, yeah.
People are so highly distracted by like football that it's kind of like it's payday for burglars because it's very easy to...
Right, well, keep your wits about you, everybody.
Absolutely. If I'm allowed one more thing, I don't know if you're familiar with the Californian rapper Vince Staples.
No.
So perhaps you should. Perhaps you get your lawyers to send him a cease and desist, because his latest album, the cover art, is a ripoff of your book.
No.
Yeah, totally. He has a crying baby, I think a Trump baby. In this case, wearing an American flag as a diaper. And do you know what?
Now, why didn't I think of that?
Exactly. But I actually would probably claim that he listens to your show.
Right. I very much doubt this.
Do you know what? Because his album, first and foremost, is 35 minutes. So it's within the what you consider to be a good album. And,
well, I think that it's probably beneficial for artists to limit themselves to a certain period of time, because then they can chuck out the stuff that's middling and produce something that's much, much better. Editing, that's what they need to do. Editing. Oh, God, I watched Dune 2 last night. Dune 2. I made the mistake of watching another film called Dune.
Boring!
It couldn't have been more dull. There's almost 3 hours I'll never get back. Some executive should have gone in and chopped an hour out of that film. It was terminal.
You'll be happy to know there's a third one coming.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm absolutely not going to watch that one. No amount of money you could give. Even Elon Musk could not afford to give me an amount of money that would make me sit through Dune 3.
Oh, I can't. I tend to fall asleep, and there's many films that at times I will pretend that I watched simply because I couldn't walk my way through it. So I just read the synopsis and be like, yeah.
I would advise everybody to avoid that like the plague. And apparently they have appointed the director, this Villeneuve chap, who also was the person who was responsible for the second Blade Runner film.
Boo!
They've appointed him to be the director of the new James Bond film.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
Oh, God. I mean, it's in the hands of Amazon now, so we... Yeah. I don't know what's going to be of it. Do we know who is going to be the next Bond?
No, I don't. And if it's that chap and he is allowed to do what he does, you know, with his other films, to the James Bond... franchise, then, and if it's Amazon, then I'm sorry, I will be out when they try to deliver that film. Thanks a lot, Tiago. Gotta go. 0345-6060-973. That is a disastrous decision, by the way, letting that man have anything to do with the new James Bond film, because it has to be good, because there isn't anything else around like that, is there? I mean, the last two Mission Impossible films... Some executive should have gone in and chopped half an hour out of the middle of both of those films, because they went on way too long. But at least Tom Cruise gives good effort. And what else have we got? It's all kids stuff. It's all superheroes and all of that nonsense. But we need action movies for adults, for grown-ups. And other than James Bond, I can't think of anything that's out there, you know, that doesn't appeal directly to teenagers. And I ain't a teenager no more. And James Bond is it. And they've given it to that guy, the producer, the director of the world's most boring films. It just goes on and on and on. Oh, my God. People are going to start talking about their feelings any moment now.
Boring.
Couldn't be more dull. Anyway. Not... but you know me. I never complain.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Hi, yes, good morning.
Yes,
Nick.
Jan, yes, how are you?
Great. Yeah, well, I feel better when I speak to you. when I'm in contact with you, I'll put it that way. Well, not with all the subjects this evening,
awful.
But like the slugs and bugs.
Oh.
Apparently, just before I get onto my main thing, I found there's a group in America called Slugs and Bugs. And they do Sunday songs, but Bible kids songs.
Wow, that sounds horrible on a number of levels.
I was so shocked that I came across it. I thought I'd just mention it because there's been so much about horrible stuff about slugs and bugs. But the group is called Slugs and Bugs. They do...
Religious music for children. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Bible kids songs. But why? What a horrible name for a group, though, isn't it? Horrible.
Well, everything about what you've just said is horrible. It's a no from me.
No, 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 no.
Absolutely.
I was so shocked. But listen, why I rang was because I feel really happy about... I mentioned it on your show a week or so ago. But I'm so happy that the public voted. The results are out for the public... vote for the country's favourite butterfly.
Oh, I bet they voted.
I would have chosen.
Wait a minute. I bet they voted Red Admiral.
No. Really? No. Listen, you know the thing, the butterfly conservation, they run an annual a butterfly count to see how butterflies of species are getting on. But they were also asking, I don't know if they do this every year, but this year they were asking the members of the public to vote for their favourite butterfly. I wasn't actually able to vote for my favourite, but I knew which one I would choose.
How can it not be the Red Admiral? That's the only one we get apart from the white
ones. This is the peacock. It's the top butterfly.
I never heard of it.
Oh, no, but it's fascinating. I'll tell you why, because that's what I would have voted for.
Is it about 6 foot long with its tail?
No. Listen, it's amazing. It's the thing, the eye spots on the butterfly. That was a top spot. I mean, the other one was followed by the Red Admiral. Admiral.
Admirable.
Yeah,
admirable.
That was second place.
Right.
And then a couple of others. But why I would have voted for the one with the eye spots, the peacock, is because it's fascinating from a evolutionary point of view. It seems like there's something omnipresent behind it, because look, it's a trick. Look, those eyes on its wings, it's to trick a predator who might want
it. It wasn't a conscious effort on its part. There were a billion iterations of the butterfly, only one of which was successful. It got killed less frequently than the others, and so that's the one that survived. It wasn't like it didn't think, oh, I know what will put my predators off.
No, they can't think, can they?
No.
They haven't got that even omnipresence.
Well, their head is so tiny. Can you imagine how small its brain is?
But what's so fascinating is that they can do two things to deter predators. So with having these large eye spots, it makes the predator, the bird that wants it for lunch or something, think it's got a huge creature in front of it that it can't eat because it's bigger than it really thought it was. Yeah?
Stupid bird.
The peacock butterfly can also make a hissing sound.
Can it?
As well. by moving its wings a certain way.
Right.
But you know what I find fascinating, Nick, is the fact that, like, the peacock, the bird peacock, the peacock bird with its dazzling eyes on its feathers. I thought I'd check to see if that's nothing to do with a defence. It's actually the dazzling. It's a courtship.
Isn't it? It can defend itself by unfurling that thing. Which, really, I mean, think of how how many iterations of a bird had to go through on this planet to come up with that. I mean, it must have been millions to come up with something as extraordinary as that. It's just amazing, really.
Yes, it is, isn't it? A dazzling it's supposed to be a dazzling courtship thing to win the female. The courtship.
I mean, talk about over the top. It's so heavy it can barely fly.
Well, that's true. But apparently, I think it's interesting what the ancient Greeks have in their myths. They claim that it was the goddess Hera created the peacock out of Argos, which was a giant that had 100 eyes.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that people like Boris Johnson used to study at university.
Yeah. Where?
Fairy tales.
well, I don't know. But look, I mean, I love this quote. I'm going to mention it because I think I've mentioned it before to you in some circumstance. But when William Blake, the visionary artist and poet, he wrote, "To create a little flower is the work of ages." I think that's a beautiful thing, isn't it, to say?
Okay.
Anyway,
I thought it was going to be deeper than that, but never mind. I mean, I guess it's enough for going along with. Close enough for jazz. Got to go, Jan, but thanks for that. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Ball.
As pressure grows on the Prime Minister, do you think a change at the top would make any difference? Plus, how do you feel about Elon Musk, or indeed anyone, becoming a trillionaire?
Clive Ball at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Ugh, drizzly drive to the office. Ever wanted to just shove some bits in a bag? Hop on a plane and land somewhere magnifique?
Well, with Kayak Explore, it's easier than ever. Whatever your budget, wherever you want to go, simply set the amount you want to spend and Kayak finds flights that fit. Easy breezy. Search Kayak and go see for yourself.
Get iPhone 17 in the Vodafone Business Summer Sale. iPhone 17 is built for business with all-day battery life and the powerful A19 chip for fast, efficient performance. Experience it all on the best network for business and save £300. Hurry, offer ends the 22nd of July. Vodafone Business.
Businesses with up to 9 employees only. Based on iPhone 17 and 24-month unlimited airtime plan. Best network as awarded at the Mobile Industry Awards. Saving calculated over 36 months.
5 across. Full of positive swagger. Sorry. At HMRC, we can't help you fill gaps in a crossword. But our new website can fill gaps in your pension and tax knowledge. Nothing cryptic. Just simple explanations about the basics to help you get tax confident. And understand how tax works in retirement. To learn more, search HMRC Tax Confident. Oh, that's it. Confident.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
We are running late. Dave says, is Starmer a stabilising force or a big black hole of nothing? And hole is spelt with a W. W-H-O-L-E. Or both at the same time, he says. A big black hole of nothing. I guess both work. H-O-L-E and W-H-O-L-E. Is he a stabilising force or a big black hole of nothing? Can you be both at the same time? Yeah, I think probably you can. David in Preston says, I go under the knife tomorrow, getting some heart surgery in the morning. You cheer me up. Oh, thanks, David. He says, I'm on a mixed ward. There's a lady next to me who's older than my mother. Well, that's understandable, I guess. He says, sleeping pills help. Well, I bet they do, yeah. Well, let's all send good thoughts to David in Preston. Best of luck. Tip your surgeon well. Maybe not before, but, you know, make sure he understands that he's going to get a tip for excellent work afterwards. Isn't that weird that we don't tip surgeons, but we do tip somebody who brings us a pizza? I mean, which is more important? Weird. Benfleet, hello, Will.
Oh, hi, Nick. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Oh, brilliant. I initially called about the IPO for SpaceX.
And now I can't hear you now. No.
No, hang on.
There you are.
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
Sir. Go ahead.
Brilliant. So I actually called you about the IPO for SpaceX and you started talking bad about Dune, which I love.
Awful.
But let's ignore that.
Terrible.
Which is that retail investors, the likes of me and the Joe Public, are effectively just offering a liquidity pool for those institutional investors who have got loads of money in X and XAI, SpaceX, all those private investors who have effectively now just got a great opportunity to unload a load of shares on the unsuspecting public who want to invest in a company that has over 100 times revenue to pricing multiplier. It's a great opportunity for the rich to get even richer. Yep. Upon the backs of the average man.
100% agree. Yeah, it's a company that doesn't make any money. All of those AI companies as well, they don't make any money. And yet people are, because I guess, you know, listen to the spiel at the end of the ad. Your stake may go down as well as up, and you should get proper legal and financial advice and all of that stuff. But people ignore all of that because they just get attracted by the fame and by the money. And that's how Ponzi schemes work, by saying, come with me, I'm super rich, and I'll do with your money what I've done with mine. And disappointment will ensue, perhaps.
This situation is particularly insane, though, because it's you're buying into the hype. There is no financial incentive around this. The AI by which this is based on, Grok, is really like a subpar model compared to what Anthropic and.
But he's not sold that though, has he? I thought it was the rocket company.
No. So the rocket company is now tied in with the AI company,
right.
And X. Right. It offers those investors who have invested in those individual opportunities to exit and right. pawn off on those who want to invest in the quote unquote rocket company.
Well, that's two or three no's in a row from me.
Yeah, no, exactly. But again, it's just awful. It speaks to the state of our economy. Well, not the economy, our economy, but the global economy, whereby, like you say, Ponzi schemes are continuing to take precedent over actual long-term earnings, where you're seeing...
Yeah, this is why Warren Buffett was such a sage investor, because he didn't go for any of this stuff. All of these things that he didn't understand, he wasn't remotely interested in. He invested in things that were basic and stable, and that people needed all the time, and that he could understand. And, you know, his record speaks for itself. And he made a fortune over the long term, whereas what people are going in for now is, in pretty much the same way as they start companies, they want to start a company and then sell it within 4 weeks and make £100 million and then leave. That's not really how it works, unless you are so lucky that you have the equivalent of winning the lottery. What he did, the sage of Omaha did, was he went for the long run, which is almost what nobody else does in that market. It's all frenetic trading, and we're down to milliseconds of owning shares, and that's why I think that the whole concept of shares. Is probably the worst thing that could ever have happened to the human race.
I mean, look, I'm not going to like go into too deep detail about it, but at the same time, you're just in a position where people want real quick profit, and you're seeing people today who are going to sell out from the retail buy-in at 20% profit, and that's not going to serve those long-term investors who have bought like tens of thousands of pounds of their entire life savings into SpaceX. And they're offering a liquidity opportunity for those institutional investors to sell out for millions.
Yeah, and all this, the Bitcoin stuff and, you know, the Trump coin and all of that. Basically, if you are not a trained professional working in the industry, then by the time you've heard of it, it's too late for you.
Agreed. And we're just in a situation now where, again, the Trump economy in the US is very much serving those small insiders, whereby you are just trying to make as much money as possible through a liquidity pool of desperate and unfortunate people looking for a quick buck.
Or as Trump would call them.
I love the poorly educated.
Yeah, they keep giving and giving. Yeah. Those people. Yeah.
No, and you know what? Nick, I listen to your program religiously every week with me and my family.
It's a religion.
We do. We love you, and we like my mother-in-law, my fiance. We love your program, and we ring it every week for a bit of sense in the world.
Well, I want you to pop all of the money that you have in an envelope and send it to me for safekeeping. Promise me you'll do that.
You've got a Bitcoin proxy going.
Yes, I will. I'll pop you an email in the post, and we'll do a deal later. It will definitely be in your interests. Fortunes await. Thanks a lot, Will. Lawrence says, Musk may be a trillionaire, but I ask you, is he happy? Yeah, I don't think he is, no. But I think that kind of person will be perpetually unhappy because no amount is enough. No amount of whatever it might be that you can think. Money, success, praise. I mean, look at Trump. Slathered with praise from morning to night, and no amount is a sufficient amount of praise to receive. None. He can go around the table of his cabinet and they can all... I mean, have you ever seen anything so sycophantic as when he does that cabinet table run? Then they go around saying, oh, Mr. President, working for you is is as though Jesus has come down to walk among us. No one has done more for religion of any kind than you, they'll say.
You know, nobody has done more for Christianity. Nobody has done more for religion of all type than me.
Than him, yeah. That's what they'll say. Having previously removed their spines. Yeah, but no amount of anything is enough for these people. They will never, ever, ever be happy. So what's the point? I mean, wouldn't it be... because you only get to go around once. Doesn't matter how much money you got. Doesn't matter how many times you freeze your body in order to try to elongate your life or get the blood of your son injected into you to, you know, improve your chances of living forever. Doesn't matter how much money you got. Nobody gets out of this life alive. And wouldn't it be a better thing to do to be happy while it's going on rather than to continually try to chase something that will never satisfy you? That's what I don't get about these people. They've got everything and they look as miserable as sin. Never mind, eh? Well, now, thank you for your attention to this matter. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We will reconvene tonight at 10 o'clock for another of my normal abnormal shows, when I'll try to get through all of the multiple pages of messages that I couldn't get through tonight. If you missed any of this super show, by the way, the Friday and Saturday night shows get stuck up the internet as a podcast. It's called Nick Abbott, The Whole Show Podcast. It's on Global Player and the new LBC app. Nick Abbott, The Whole Show Podcast. And the Global Player and LBC app are both free from your app store. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's James Hansen. But first, here's Clive Ball.
Nick, thank you. After the news, Keir Starmer is said to be braced for more cabinet resignations as pressure grows on the Prime Minister and a leadership challenge looms. But do you think that a change at the top would actually make any difference? Should there be more about policies than people? Also, Elon Musk becomes a millionaire and then becomes a trillionaire as SpaceX makes its stock market debut. How do you feel about someone becoming a trillionaire? Anyone? Would you put money, by the way, into SpaceX? I'll be having a chat with an investment strategist later who can explain what's happened with SpaceX and what might happen next. All that and much more after the news at 1 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. President Trump has said he thinks a peace deal with Iran could be signed over the next 3 days. One U.S. official has already told reporters it includes a clause to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Pakistan is claiming a final text has been agreed between the two nations. The Middle East security expert, Dr. Talia Abdulrazak, has been telling LBC Islamabad's involvement has been central.
Pakistan's role primarily has been to try to secure an extension to the ceasefire to allow the wider terms of a long-lasting peace to take place. That's discussions over nuclear material, Iran's ballistic weapons capability. On the Iranian side, they want unfreezing of assets. They want everything to be ratified by the UN Security Council.
A police officer is being investigated for reportedly using artificial intelligence to create evidential material. The Crown Prosecution Service says it's working with the Derbyshire Constabulary, engaging also with defence teams and courts which may have been affected. Four activists from Palestine Action are beginning prison terms after raiding the Bristol factory of a defence company linked to Israel. The judge at Woolwich Crown Court described their actions as terrorist activity before sentencing them to a combined total of around 26 years. Helen Hoddenott was there for LBC.
On hearing, their punishment will be based on terrorist connection this afternoon, meaning much longer sentences and the prospect of being recorded as terrorists for life, having to report to the police if they, for instance, get a new device, start a new relationship once they leave prison. Two of the group in the courtroom earlier today could be seen wiping away tears.
Health officials are warning the NHS in England is facing a triple whammy of pressure because of the next scheduled walkout by resident doctors. It's due to coincide with a new heat wave and also the World Cup. Members of the British Medical Association are expected to begin a strike from Monday morning.